Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Rapture Centric Radio.
Something like my makeup, I say you the best. I know you can't see it all by yourself, but you are beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. God ain't made you like anybody else. Don't let nobody tell you that you're anything less, cause you are beautiful.
Good evening, everyone. Nobody said anything back, but that's okay because nobody else is on here but me. Guys, I've had a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful day. And the morning show was absolutely phenomenal. I had a girl call in from Atlanta and share her story. I was hit with the Holy Spirit, and so was Stacy on there. I'm sure everybody else that was listening was filled with it too. I woke up this morning and all I could think about, I feel it that the Lord's coming today. And I felt it all day. And I was praying and I was talking to the Lord and he said, come home. And I laughed real hard because I need him to come get me to do that. And, you know, it's gone from you're going home to come home. And I know now that we're just waiting on the big one to come up here. We all go, the bride. And so the only news that I even care to talk about is the good news of Jesus himself coming down here, Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, the Savior, coming down here, taking us all out, bringing us home. And I'm beyond filled with the Spirit today. I love it. I was blessed this morning. I got to talk with a couple different people. I talked to Luke today. Shared some stories with him. That lucky guy, he can't be on the show tonight, I don't think, but he ain't missing nothing, guys, because he's so close to the Lord. We got to talk with Dustin today. He didn't get to make it to the show today, but don't worry, guys, he'll be back. I know everybody loves him. We got to talk with Judy today and tried to get her check herself into some kind of outpatient treatment deal for her rapture-centric disease. And I've got it, guys. I know that some of us struggle each and every day. I am so blessed to be a part of this whole deal with everybody that's here and hear people's stories. And it's encouraging and to talk to the people. I love every single one of you guys to hear this stuff and people sharing their stories and you know, their walk with the Lord. And, you know, I was thinking last night about how I think of who I was a year ago. And, you know, I still prayed, and I was just a backslidden Christian that still thought it was okay to do some bad stuff and you know, and still be a good Christian. And I'm so grateful to the Lord that he pulled me back under his wing, just like he did to all you guys here before it was too late. And I thank him very much. I know you guys are all thank him. His love is endless, guys. So tonight I don't really, unless somebody has some just phenomenal, Dustin sent me a news story earlier about Washington Post putting out a deal saying the stock market's going to crash, basically our economy's going to collapse. It's the only news article I read today because I'm only thinking about Jesus. But it was an amazing story, and I talked to Dustin about it on the phone and stuff, and I just told him it was just too bad we weren't going to be able to see that because we're going to be home with our dad. Tonight I want people to call in. I see Sherry just popped in there too. And I am always so blessed, Sherry, to hear your stories and what you share. Your voice alone brings a smile to my face and lets me know the Lord loves us all. But I want to encourage people to call in that haven't shared. I assure you it's painless and we're all encouraged by it. So people that have been listening that haven't heard it just yet, or that we haven't heard yet, I'd really love to hear from you. I know that the people that I've talked to with Dustin and Judy and everybody, they say the same things. You know, we can't wait to hear from other people. Don't get me wrong. I'll listen to people tell me the same stories over and over again because I get something new out of it every single time. Sherry's story about the angels is just, I think about that one every couple of hours now since I've heard it. It's just amazing. And Eric and Veronica, you guys always have some amazing stuff to share. Your walk, and, you know, Eric had a dream of seeing Jesus in the clouds the other night coming down. I love hearing stuff like that. But if you're calling in when the show really gets to going and you've been on hold for 5 minutes and you're like, this guy Jason, I can't stand him. He didn't put me on the air. I will never interrupt anybody else's story or their testimony that they're sharing, because I believe when someone's sharing that they're speaking from the Holy Spirit. And so if you're on hold for a few minutes, don't worry. I can see, I'm staring at a screen that shows me all the calls. I'm not avoiding you. But it's just that I want to make sure that we all get to hear it and we don't get interrupted from each other. So tonight, guys, I really encourage you to call in. I know Judy will probably call in at some point. I know Katie's going to call in. But don't be discouraged. Please do call in. I'm actually going to post the call-in number in the chat, and I'll do it several times because I want to hear new stuff. Guys, I was so blessed this morning hearing the stories from, I think it was Maria, and I think the other one was Christy. It was just so amazing, and I know we can do it again. So I'm going to put the first caller on. It's 925. I recognize the number. Hello, 925.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well.
That's good. Hey, man.
You have
God
a story you'd like
all
to share with us? God
well,
bless you.
I had kind of a bad vision this morning. Right, you know, I woke up, tried to get up to listen to the radio show, but fell back to sleep. And
was it boring?
I saw really clearly. I saw like a city that looked like New York, and I saw this rolling ball of fire consuming everything, almost like a nuclear explosion, but it was in slow motion. And it was just put on my heart, like, it's coming, it's coming, it's coming. So,
is this Belle?
Yeah, this is Belle.
Okay, I was recognizing your voice. I just couldn't tell for sure. You get a lot of visions, you know, that you said it was New York City?
It looked like it. It was really, I live by San Francisco, and they have kind of a different setup, but this city was really tightly packed, so.
Very highly populated area. Well,
yeah,
you know stuff from New York.
You just don't get that many visions, and honestly, you don't want them because they always get you thinking something's imminent. Like, whenever people have a rapture vision or dream, they're like, oh, it's going to happen today. And then, like, a year or 2 years or 3 years later, they're like, great, another vision.
Well, I think visions are cool. I've never got, I've had dreams. I believe the Lord has actually shown me certain things, and I think he showed me the throne room one time for just a second, but it's, you know, my opinion. It could just be, you know, a malt shop in heaven. I don't know.
What was that? Tell me about that. What did it look like?
Well, it was a very big room, and I just saw, like, a few. And there were steps, like rounded steps, like an auditorium with, you know, a whole bunch of small, you know, incremental steps going up. And it was, everything was like pearl white. And I mean, that's the, without, I'm not an artistic person, so it's hard for me to express certain things like that. But it was just for a second. And I know it's going to be more beautiful than what I saw. I do know that. But,
amen. Yeah,
it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I've seen, 7 years ago, I had a 2 days. I was in prayer and just fasting and repenting and seeking God just for some unknown reason, you know. And I had a series of open visions where I saw things like in real life, and I saw all the things of the apocalypse. I saw angels. I saw a road in heaven. Leading up to, like, a stone road leading up to a wall that had the same type of ascending steps you talked about, like wider at the bottom and then getting smaller step by step by step. And there was a temple and angels and all this stuff. But I got a view of what I think was a throne room. I couldn't see the throne, but I saw people in different places in the circle. But one of them was tall and old and bald. Another one was short and kind of chubby. And I'm thinking to myself, what's going on? I thought this was heaven. So,
that's supposed to be bald in heaven?
I guess, if you want to be humble, and I guess God leaves a lot of room for people, you know.
Apparently so. I want to pull a couple other people on the line. I don't want anybody to wait too long. I recognize some of the numbers, but not all of them. But that's 606. You're there. Hello,
that's
606.
That's me.
It's Sherry.
It's Sherry. I got a couple things. I'm going to do the crappy one first. Well, it's not crappy, but it's ooh. And then I'll save the happy one for the end. Okay, so in my continuous vision, the five guys, the Russian and the African-American man and the Korean guy and that has the portal on the left, were all these, I thought they were good angels, but the Lord said, no, these are the bad guys. So out of it comes one big white being. I can't see its face. Behind it comes this big black being with big black wings, but he had a cowl on his face, so which is probably good. And then they stopped coming out. That was it. There was no more of them.
Wow.
So I don't know what. Every time I've seen this part of the vision, they've always been streaming out. Always. It's almost like they show you something in slow motion. They're just very repetitive. But after the big white being came out, then the taller black being came out, and he was big with these huge black wings. And he had a cowl on his face. Like, do you ever watch one of those movies where the guy's going to cut your head off? How he has that, like, sack over his face?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's what he looked like. And in a way, I'm kind of like happy because I'm like, I really don't need to see your face. So I don't know who or what these things are, but they're on the side of the five ethnic men. And then, okay, under that, this gets freaky. under that, there's this guy, but he's not alien looking, but he's not human looking. It's hard to explain. I mean, he looks like sort of alienish, not reptilian, but sort of human. But I can tell he's not either or. Maybe he's a mixture of both. I don't know. So out of his head comes these two huge horns that go straight up and into the white being and the black being. It's like it just becomes part of him, almost like they're sitting on his head. And he's holding this big thing. At first, I'm like, okay, wow, he's holding this big rock. But as I watch, this big rock turns into a face that's very human, but something's not right. It's just hard for me to explain. There's something about the eyes that look weird. So I'm like, oh, my gosh. And that's all of that part. So then I turn to the right because, like, my vision's like a panoramic view. I know I keep saying that. It's just hard to verbally explain. Where I seen the big feet guys, there's four exactly. This time I paid attention and counted them. I don't know why, but some people think it's important to know exactly how many things you see. There's four. There's like three big ones that are almost the same size and one just a little bit smaller. And But I never noticed this before. They have very almond-shaped eyes. Very, very oriental-looking eyes. And no disrespect to any Asian people or anything like that. I'm just trying to say what I see.
Thanks, Sherry. I'm oriental.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I mean, I love oriental people. I always wanted me a Chinese grandbaby.
I'm teasing.
Oh, okay. But I really would like a Chinese grandbaby. I just think they're so pretty. Okay.
They are.
Well, then, one of the Bigfoot guys that I thought was Bigfoot, and I'm going to ask y'all to forgive me, because the Bigfoot people kind of freak me out because I live in the woods. I've never really paid that much attention to it, but this time I, like, zoomed in. I know it's weird, isn't it? It's like I have sci-fi eyes or something, I don't know. And it's not a Bigfoot guy. It's a giant fish spitting out a man. I can see his beard, his hair. The fish is totally ugly, guys. I mean, it's like you could reach out and touch it, but I'm like, no. So now I started seeing this in the end of 2011. So that's Jonah and the whale. That has to be, I don't know what it means, but kind of made me happy, though, that it was a fish and a guy and not another Bigfoot dude. Okay, what else? Okay, so then after I
hold on one second.
Okay.
So the second beast of Revelation talks about having two horns. It looks like a lamb, but it speaks like a dragon. The rock, which turns into face, is similar to the image of the beast. And we know that feet represent the statue in Daniel 2, which says the last kingdom will have feet made of iron and clay, and they will mingle together, but they shall not mix.
Well, this guy that he's holding, and it's just a big head, is... It is human, but it's not. I don't know how to explain it. It doesn't really look alien to me, like a gray alien.
Mm-hmm.
But there is something about the face that almost looks animalistic, or there's something about the eyes. I don't know. I didn't want to keep looking at it. It wasn't scary.
Understandable.
I knew it wasn't natural. I guess is what I'm trying to say. It whatever this thing is, it's not natural. It's not human. Or if it's human, it's part something else. I don't know. And that's the thing was holding it with the huge. It kind of freaked me out when them two horns shot up and it became part of those two beings. But that's exactly these huge horns. But they sort of curved back, but they became part of the white being and the black being. So it almost looked like they were standing on this, like, demon's head, I guess. I just know that it became part of it. But I was really happy about the Jonah and the whale thing because I've seen that a long time ago and never, I just thought it was another Bigfoot climbing up out of a pit again. But it's a man, a fish, spitting out a man. I can see him grabbing the ground, and he's like gasping for air. Very, very intense.
Wow.
What else? Okay, so then after that, I was like, well, you know, in my head, I'm thinking, you know, I'd really just rather see Jesus. And lo and behold, Jesus appears. God's so good to me. And behind Jesus is a bride. And this is how, God didn't speak to me, but this is how I felt. Jesus had this, you know how I told you the last time I seen him, he has a stance of like, stand your ground. He has the same stance, the same look, but I knew he was protecting her. I knew that it's like his attitude was like you don't want to bring it on. So to speak, like you just don't want to go there.
And, he's not the one to mess with,
right? And it'd be like Jason, if you were walking down the street with your wife and someone came towards you, how you would step in front of her, you know. you would take a protective posture. And that's exactly how he was. So I'm thinking, you know, maybe there's a lot of people under persecution or something. And I just know that he was like, don't bring it. You know, don't bring it, because if you do, you're going to be sorry. So that was really happy. And then the last thing I saw, which is kind of odd, because I was doing laundry and I walked in my bathroom and I looked up and there's two big, like, boulders in the corner of my ceiling just sitting there. They're not on fire. One's big, one's small, and they went from east to west. Just big, giant rocks. I don't know if they're meteors or... But I was like, Lord, you're not trying to tell me two big rocks are going to come through my bathroom ceiling or anything, are you? And they just, you know, they just, because my room's on the east, too. But they did go east to west. I paid attention because a lot of people, you know, people just want so much detail. And that's it. That's it. Ta-da.
Well, I'm sure Bell's got more interpretation because he's good at the – I mean, I like hearing that stuff, too. I think it's really neat that he showed you something that was really spooky and scary and unnerving, yet at the same time turns around and shows you that Jesus is protecting his bride. So,
and yeah, I'm just kind of sad I didn't pay better attention to the Bigfoot guy, that it's a man being spit out by a fish, because – If I was seeing that in 2011, and I know it was the end of 2011, toward late fall, I'm just wondering what maybe was going on. I'm going to do a little bit of research and see if something was, because that's always been part of this particular vision. Oh, the other thing is the Statue of Liberty's head is... the thing on her head's gone. The crown, like the pointy crown thing, her head just goes into nothing. It's like she's fading away. It's almost like somebody took a big eraser and just erased the top part of her head. Like I can see through it. It's opaque. So I don't know what that means either. Or how that.
What do you think, Bill?
Well, the Statue of Liberty, I think, is just a representation of Isis, or the, you know, the Egyptian god that they all worship. And, you know, the head is always a symbol of authority. So, of course, part of it is the destruction of the United States, but it's also linked to the destruction of the current system that the elite worship, that the NWO has. Their whole goal is to unite people under one world religion, under unity. You know, you listen to a lot of U2 songs, and it's always unite, coexist. There's a whole part of the United Nations where it's a whole religious movement that their whole goal is to bring everyone under one banner. So not only are they going to destroy the religious symbols of Christianity, they're also going to destroy their own symbols of Jupiter worship, Isis worship, of all these other gods, like the phoenix being burned in the fire and then something new rising from the ashes. That's why we see the old Trade Center towers crumbling and the new one rising, which is United.
Okay, now before she was there, that's where I saw I hate to say the whore, but I knew in my spirit that's what it was, and that it was the United States. That's what was there before her, the face of this prostitute, and Obama came up on the right of her face, and I know I've told y'all before, his face, half of his face turned into a serpent, and his crown, I don't know why I keep saying it reminded me of a wrought iron fence around a church, but that's exactly what it reminded me of. It disappeared, and two horns came straight up out of his head. And now that that's gone, I don't see that, or Mitt Romney's gone. He was behind Obama. Those are gone, and in its place is just this huge head of the Statue of Liberty. I know it very distinctly, but her crown, it's just gone. It's like I can see through her, and there's nothing there. There's nothing on her head anymore. She just looks at me, and there's nothing above it. There's nothing to the side of her. It's just that. So I just thought it maybe had something to do with the United States since Obama used to be there. But I just think it's weird that her head is opaque now, like the top of her head. It's just gone. It's just faded into nothing. It's no more.
Well, it does mean one thing for sure, that we're going home.
Okay. I think that's it. That's all I got for you. I've had a productive day.
Sherry, I'm always blessed to hear you.
Thank you. I haven't seen any angels of late, but hey, there's always tonight and tomorrow, so I see angels all the time, guys. I see angels out the window where I work, walking, just walking
so
through the
blessed woods. You're so blessed.
Yeah, it's awesome. But I've seen angels since I was a child, so I'm used to it. And whoever was on here the other day and said angels don't have wings, they do. Some of the ones not all of them do. But the first angel I ever saw was a child of maybe 10 or 11, 12 years old, a little girl sitting in the tree in my front yard, and she had wings. And I was 14 or 15 years old, and I just looked up, and there she sat smiling at me. And
that is amazing.
I've always seen them since. I see big ones, small ones. The biggest one was the one I drove through. And he had a foot. I live off a two-lane road. I couldn't see his feet. He was wider than the two-lane road, and he was the tallest angel I've ever, because I don't really remember if it was a boy or a girl. I just remember it was so tall. I had never seen an angel that tall before, and I just drove right through it. So.
Wow.
I'm going to ask God to send you some angels. Yeah, I'm going to ask
him. Please do. I would absolutely be ecstatic to see an angel. Luca was talking about it.
The ones I saw on the rock cliff, those guys that were in a line on both sides of the rock cliff, and I knew they were angels, some were dressed in robes. Some were dressed kind of like almost like a gladiator type outfit, I don't know, you know, with sandals. Their dress was shorter. I could see their knees. I could see they had bands on their arms and their ankles, thick, wide bands. And they were 30, 40 feet tall. They were as tall as the trees that they stood in front of. And they just stood in the road looking at me as I drove down that long stretch of road. And I told you this, I don't even remember it's probably a good 6-7 miles stretch of road. I just remember seeing them, looking at them, and the next thing I know, I'm in front of where I work. Like, I don't know. I don't remember driving the 6 or 7 miles. To that day, I have had peace beyond understanding. I don't care what's going on in the world, how freaky it gets. I just have a very calm spirit. Just, you know, it's all good. It's all good, Sherry. So.
Amen. Well, that's amazing, I also want
Sherry.
To tell the people listening, you know, the Bible says, Jesus said, because you see me, you believe. I think he said it to Doubting Thomas. And then he says, blessed are those who have not seen and yet still believe. So a lot of people always say, I wish I could see angels. I wish I had these experiences. God is just as happy or even more so when people have faith without seeing these signs or these wonders.
Oh, yeah.
Or these visions and things. So everybody is special to God, and God uses, you know, people don't have to raise the dead or speak in tongues or do these outward things to please God or to even serve the kingdom of God. Just doing the little things every day of your life is what means the most to him.
I'm of the opinion that angels are everywhere. I've thought that my entire life because I see them everywhere. When I go out of state, I see them. And I just see them walking, just walking around like they're passing through. And I can go outside my job on break and sit down and look across the road, and they'll be standing up on the hill just looking at me. And so
that's so awesome. You should come to Kansas.
I'm always under the I believe that they, and this is just my personal belief, that they are everywhere at all the time around us. It's just, I don't know why I do believe other people can see them. My grandmother told me she saw angels before. Of course, she's an angel now. She's in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm sure I can't be the only person that sees angels. I just think, I don't know. Yeah. So I think
Sherry,
they're around
I love
us
you
all
to death.
Okay, I'm hanging up.
I love you
up.
To death, but I got seven people
go
holding.
Ahead.
I feel so bad. I love hearing from you.
No. I said my piece. Go, brother. God bless.
All right, God bless.
All right, God bless. Okay, there's a person that's calling in that got the VIP card for going to the front here, bringing 435, I believe it's Mandy. Mandy, are you there?
Oh, hey. I was like, am I on? Okay.
How are you tonight?
I'm pretty good. I'm really excited. Oh, my gosh. I've been dying to get on here and tell you guys what happened. So I was just praying and talking to God last night, you know, just wondering about the rapture, wondering when it's going to happen. I know it's going to be soon. And I fell asleep while I was praying. Like, I just kept praying and talking to God, and then I ended up falling asleep while I was praying. And my fiance, he came into the room and he got in the bed and he kind of woke me up because he got into bed. And it was so weird. All of a sudden, I just started thinking in my head. I'm like, wow, the rapture is going to be tomorrow. I'm like, it's so close. It's going to be tomorrow. And then I got like the vision of like a clock in my head. And I seen the 12 and I seen the hand strike the 12, and as soon as the hand strike the 12, I don't know how to explain this. I guess it was an open vision because I was awake. I wasn't sleeping. He raptured me. I came up out of my body. I was like floating above my bed, and I felt
my
spirit leave my body. I was floating up above my bed, and I was like, oh my gosh, this is it. I can't believe it just happened. I'm like, this is it. Like, everything was going through my head. I'm like, Jesus, I get to see you. Are my babies getting raptured right now? Is my fiance getting raptured? And like, it happened so fast. And as soon as all those like thoughts went in my head, boom, I was back into my body. And I mean,
that's
basically it. I mean, God, I got raptured last night, people. And and he let me feel the feeling of what it felt like. I was so excited. I was just, oh, my goodness, the joy that I felt. Like, I was floating in midair. Like, it happened very, very fast. So fast, but it's like.
Maybe it was a warm-up.
I don't know. It was so crazy. And it's like he let me know that was most definitely how the rapture is going to feel. Like, it was so, so real that I thought for sure I got raptured. And then somehow he slammed me back down my body and was like, okay, nope, you don't get raptured. And I was like, no, Jesus, please, take me back. So, yeah, sorry, I'm so excited. But
That is amazing.
Yes, I felt my spirit come out of my body, and then I fell back down into my body. I mean, it was very quick. It was, I don't know, do you call that an open vision? I wasn't sleeping.
That is amazing, though. I had a fake deal where I thought I was getting raptured. The Lord told me it was time to go home. I had my whole body shaking. But, yeah, he took you out of your body.
You had your body shaking at one point? Because that's happened to me as well. One time I was in my bed, and I was kind of in and out of sleep, and I felt my whole body kind of, like, vibrating. It was very weird.
Yeah. Well, he's doing a lot of stuff to a lot of people. It's what's neat about, you know, here is that everybody here is like, yeah, I've had that crazy weird thing that nobody believes me about happen to me too.
Oh my goodness.
That's amazing.
I don't know. I guess he just gave me that little preview of what it's going to be like. And something that it seemed really urgent too. I thought in my head before it was happening, I thought, wow, tomorrow we're going to be raptured and it's going to happen. And then for some reason I just seen, you know, a clock in my head and I seen, you know, the hand strike 12 and bam, as soon as it stroke, you know, hit 12, I was out of my body and I was floating up in the air and I kept rising too. That's what I felt. I felt myself rising and rising and I had all the thoughts of, I can't believe this is it. I wanted it so bad, but I cannot believe this is it right now. And then soon as, you know, all those thoughts went through my head, I just, boom, fell right back into my body. And wow, it was pretty cool, though.
Man, that's amazing. It's a good, I love, this is the stuff I love hearing.
Yeah,
Sorry, I just didn't want to interrupt you there. There's a slight delay. Still there.
Oh, okay. Something else I just wanted to say real quick. I actually have to go because my babies are getting tired and I got to put them down for a nap. But I prayed to God one time and I was telling him, I was like, you know, God, I'm kind of having a bad day. I'm like, could you give me like a dream or just something positive, something in heaven that I would you know, that would just lift my spirits. And I had a dream that I was in this mansion, and we're all inside this living room. We're watching a huge big screen TV. We're just hanging out on recliners, all kicked back, just watching TV. And then a big, huge table was to the side of us, and it was just filled with food, all kinds of food. And I'm kind of thinking maybe that this... I know, right? I was kind of thinking maybe all this food was maybe food that we're going to have up at the supper. And it's really funny. I just want to explain some of the food that I've seen. I've seen some food that was like donuts, and there were all kinds of different shapes and sizes, and they had whipped cream and colorful stuff all over them. And something that was pretty funny that I've seen is, there was this little bucket, and it had corn dogs in it, and it had onion rings, like, swirled up the corn dogs. And I really like fast food and, like, kind of greasy stuff, and I just kind of felt like God was like, hey, you're going to get corn dogs with onion rings around them. I don't know. It was so weird. I don't think I'd ever, you know, make that kind of stuff up myself, so it was pretty good.
Oh, it's amazing, man. But now the rest of us have to sit here and think about corn dogs with onion rings and donuts for the rest of the show.
I know. It was really amazing, man. I got excited. I was like, wow, I never thought of that combo before, but I really want it. Anyways, guys, I love you so much. I have to go. My baby's freaking out.
Okay. Thank you for sharing, Mandy. We really appreciate it.
God bless. I love you guys. Bye.
All right, take care. Bell, we're so blessed to hear all these stories. I got people that have been holding for quite a long time, so I'm going to pull them on here. We've got 814. Hello, 814.
Hey, Jason, it's Chris.
Hey, Chris, how are you, bud?
Not too bad. How you guys doing?
Doing well. Bell's schooling some people with his infinite wisdom.
I saw that.
I'm going to keep you on the line here. Keep you on.
What's that?
Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just...
I was just going to keep...
Yeah, I just wanted
speak,
to...
Speak, Chris.
I just wanted to let you guys know I had, I don't know if any of you guys keep track of, just news from BP Earthwatch and some, and just different news on the, weather and catastrophe reports and stuff, but I don't know if you've noticed the increase in all the seismic activity, all the earthquakes there's been at least three a day above a 5.5 for the past 3 days, which is
yes,
really
interesting
increasing.
You said that,
seriously.
There was an earthquake in Kansas the other day, and I'm going to be honest with you guys, we don't get earthquakes here, and sure, it could be from the fracking they're doing down in Oklahoma and stuff, but second time in the last 30 days that we've had an earthquake, and I've lived in the Wichita, Kansas area pretty much my entire life, and that's a new one.
Yeah, they're
Lord's
really
coming.
Picking up, they're increasing in the pressure, the damage too, and they said BP Earthwatch had something listed about. Over 400 volcanoes that have been inactive, and this is where I think I got a word from the Lord on something that I was reading in Revelations, and I wanted to share. There's, like I said, there's 400 inactive volcanoes have all shown now within the past few weeks have shown increase in activity, and then in Indonesia there was a 2 days ago, there was a volcano erupt that was one of the largest eruptions in recent times. And I was just watching that, and I felt I had a word from the Lord. I was reading in Revelations about the locusts coming from the pit. And, Bell, are you still on? And, Bell, are you still there?
I bet she's waiting to speak.
Yeah. Yeah,
okay.
I'm here.
It might be something that you could enlighten me on. I'm not sure about this, but I felt that when I was reading about the locusts coming from the pit, I really felt that God was telling me when I was watching, because all these volcano activities, I felt the Lord telling me that, this could be where, locusts coming from the pit could be something coming from these volcanoes and all this volcanic activity, and we needed to keep a watch for that. That it could be, I believe that's in the seventh trumpet blast. Is
Chris, hold on just a second. Bell, I've heard seals and trumpet stuff, so I figure you want to jump in here.
Well, there's a lot of debate on what the locusts are, but they're also found in Joel chapter 2. It says, it's talking about the locusts. It says, a day of darkness and gloom, a day of clouds and blackness, like dawn spreading across the mountains, a large and mighty army comes, such as never was in ancient times, nor ever will be in ages to come. Before them a fire devours, behind them a flame blazes. Before them, the land is like the Garden of Eden, and behind them, a desert waste. Nothing escapes them. And then it goes on to talk about how they have the appearance of horses, and they gallop along the mountaintops. So we know from biblical studies that mountaintops are symbolic of kingdoms, like the beast who sits on seven hills or seven mountains, the beast who sits on seven kingdoms. So, it could be that the Lord was impressing on your heart that when judgment comes on the world is going to be like these mountaintops or these volcanoes exploding, whether it's America or China. I mean, we just don't know what it's going to look like. We think it's going to be really, like, you know, like first economic collapse and then maybe martial law, but it might be sudden events coming on the whole world. So that's my take on it.
That's pretty good there. Chris, I'll bring you back on here in a minute. We're kind of jammed up on people. Want to make sure that everybody gets a chance to share because I'm seeing a lot of new numbers tonight. So I love you, brother. Just going to stay on the sidelines here for a second. I got 413. Looks like Bandy's called back out. All right, 413. Hello, 413.
Could that be me? Now I'm just
listening. Are you in your area code? Oh,
that's
okay.
My area code.
All right. Well, I just wanted to, I saw you holding. I'll just keep you on here, and I just didn't want you to wait for too long.
Oh, you are lovely. No, I have no wonderful stories to tell, only just like everybody else.
Lord's coming, isn't he? All right, well, I'm going to pop down here and bring Mandy back on the line because she's called in, and I think I'm betting she's got another story about a food table filled with stuff we all want to eat. Are you there, Mandy? Mandy, you fall down, go boom? All right, I'll have to come back to Mandy. Okay, 914 is on the line.
It's me, Stacey. I'm just listening. I'm going to mute. I'm going to put myself on mute. God bless you all. And I'm just doing what I need to do with my kids.
We're all blessed to have Stacey here.
I'm listening. I have my earphone in, so I could jump in whenever. But I'm, like, trying to put my kids to bed.
Stacey, tell them about you getting hit with the Holy Spirit with this morning's testimony from that gal from out now Atlanta.
Oh, yes. It was awesome. It was, wow. That was just an experience and excitement that she had. She just hit us with it. It was beautiful. And it just
awesome.
Enlightened me. And it really, God is just really moving through his people. And who can really see it is because they're spiritually blind. And who can't even hear it is because they're really blind. And they need to ask God to open their spiritual eyes and ears because he's really moving in this end time and in this last hour. And the Spirit of God is, like, moving like a wildfire. It's, like, spreading through here.
Amen.
But her testimony really blessed me, and it was just a confirmation, and she really enlightened me, too.
It was beautiful.
It was.
All right, I'm going to break 3-1.
Because more people need to hear the testimony.
Absolutely. Sorry, I'm just trying to get through. This person has been waiting for 40 minutes, so I want to make sure I bring them on here.
Myself.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
319.
Hello?
Hello, 319.
Oh. Hi. Okay. Is there someone else, 319?
No, that's you, ma'am. We'd love to hear what you got to say.
I'm sorry. I'm new to this. This is my second show I listened to this morning. I've been kind of following Rapture Kitty, John and Judy, for probably a couple months now. And I don't really know if I don't really fit the same thing that everybody else does, but I know that I'm being called to something. I just don't know what. I don't know what to say, really.
On. You said that you don't feel like you fit into the same thing as everybody else's.
Yeah, I don't. I just feel like I'm missing out a little bit. I'm missing the boat a little. I haven't heard, you know, the voice of the Lord, and I haven't had visions. And I may have had dreams, but I feel like I sleep so heavily and sometimes I'm awakened so suddenly by phone calls from my work or things with my kids that I just forget it as soon as I wake up. But I felt like I've had a few, but it's just not impressing enough for me to remember them. I just remember that it was something different. Does that make sense? I'm not really
Belle,
sure.
Do you want to take this one or do you want me to?
Well, you know, I'll say this. The Bible says that without hearing, you cannot have faith. And faith comes by hearing the Word of God. And we have the Bible. We have the Word of God.
Yeah.
And for most people, step one is to read the stories, to learn who God is, to understand how He's worked through people. And you don't really have to have visions or hear the still small voice in your head at first. Just take that first step to learn who God is and to pray to Him. And it says, out of your body will flow rivers of living water, those who belong to God. So the more you learn about who God is, the more God can work on your heart. And then the more you'll be open to hearing. And it's not always going to be a voice telling you something or angels. I mean, really, all the people that have these things and these dreams, I mean, it's not like, I know for me, it's not like my life changes with them. You know, I still have to work at forgiving people. I still have to hold on to hope that Jesus is coming soon. So, I mean, I do not define who I am or who anyone else is by if they have visions or if they see angels or if they speak in tongues. The most important thing to me is, do they love people? You know, do they care about people? Because we're going to be in heaven forever. I think we might as well start loving each other now, and when we're there in heaven, we're not going to have dreams or visions because we're going to see everything clearly with the same eyes that Jesus has.
Yeah. Some of the things, though, that are kind of peculiar for me, I've known the Lord. My family has always been, you know, in the church. My original family, my husband is not, and that's another story for another time, just because my husband worked in the ministry for 13 years, and I think he just saw too much, but I've always known God. I've always heard God, and I, in a way, not audibly, but I just felt connected to God. When I'm going down the road, you know, I'll just be chatting to God, and I can't really, but I kind of chat, you know, like I would my girlfriend if I was going to call someone up, you know, like, oh, you know, just chatting. But all of a sudden around, I would say probably October of 2013, I just had this overwhelming desire, like, for nothing else at all.
And
since then, I mean, it's kind of rocked me because I feel like a lunatic sometimes, and I know that sounds terrible but you know, the things I used to like to do, I don't even want to watch TV. I really could care less to see the things that we used to watch. It's really hard for me every single day. I own a business, and I just don't want anything to do with it. I know that, and I love it. I love it, but I don't. All I want to do is sit at. I just want to stay at home, and I want to read the Word, and I want to plug into people on YouTube that talk about God, and their eyes light up, and they are on fire for the Lord, like I feel. And when I go to church, sometimes it's almost like, you know, I'm looking around and I know that there are people there that speak in tongues and they're very connected to the Lord, but they are not ready. I mean, they're not looking like they're not feeling like I feel. Like, I'm ready to walk up to anybody right now and be like, you know, are you excited? Like, He's coming right now. And I feel like visibly shaken when I talk about it. Like, my whole body just feels, I just feel different than other people right now, and I'm really feeling alone.
Well, you're not alone. You came to the right place, because that's how we all feel.
What's your first name, if you don't mind me asking?
It's Michelle, and I'm calling from Iowa.
Okay, Michelle. I know exactly, I don't know exactly, but there's something that I haven't quite figured out. And so I think that what you're experiencing is more complex than you can even explain. But, you know, every single person a lot of people that are here, feel the same way. I've tried to talk to my family. I've tried talking to my Christian family. I've tried talking to my atheist family, and neither one of them accept what I've experienced. Jesus Christ himself has talked to me and told me that it's time to go home. He's shown me what's going to happen, just like with a lot of other people. And I've said this before, and I say this with a completely honest heart. I am not doing this to try to seem humble. I think the Lord talks to me because I'm so thick-headed that without it, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be where I'm at. And so Bell was talking about it earlier, about people that, that don't experience certain things. They're even more blessed. I mean, if I am very blessed that I cannot believe that the Lord would choose me to talk to, because I'm a dirty sinner, but I'm very grateful. But at the same time, I still have to sit there and say, well, I'm not any better than anybody else, and so many different other people that have followed Christ for 40 years should get this gift, not me. And so, if you're feeling like you're being separated from the world, God's doing that to you, because he wants you separated, because he wants to take you home. And, I owned a company. I closed my company down in December, and because there was just no way I could continue doing it. There's no way. God's talking to me. I don't want to do anything else. And it's not a financial issue for me, so it's just – and now I'm blessed to, talk with you and everybody else that calls into the show. I would love to talk to you more. I'm sure if I can be of any help, I can give you my phone number, I can give you my email address, and I would love to talk to you more. If it could be a level of support. But, Chris, I didn't mean to interrupt.
You're good, brother. You hit every point I was trying to make. I was just saying, feel welcome here, and that's why I really believe that's why a lot of us come here is just, I know that's one of the reasons why I come here, and I don't get, I get inclinations. I don't get, I've had like one dream, and it wasn't about anything raptured, it was about the rebuilding of the church and the tearing down of the foundations of the church and the rebuilding of a new church in Christ. And, Bella, you're really good at interpreting dreams. You tell me. The dream I had, I was driving down the road with, like, four of my friends that were, we were all in a van. And these are my Christian friends. We're driving down the road. And I looked up in the sky, and there was a full moon. And then there was another full moon right above. It was like a second moon, but it was covered in blue patches, and it was right above our vehicle, just floating along with us, just moving along. And we pull up to this old brick church building. It looked abandoned, and we all went inside, and we all just went downstairs to the basement. The basement was, like, flooded. We were draining the water. We kicked some, busted some holes in the walls, and we're draining the water out, and started tearing down the walls, and as we were tearing down the walls, we found all these old doorways, and we rebuilt the doorways, and we were bringing people in from the streets outside of the doorways we were repairing. We were out there, and you looked out each doorway, there were different groups of people, and we were hollering to these people and witnessing to them and trying to bring them in, and all of a sudden there were more people coming in and join, and we were just rebuilding this church from the basement up, and I woke up. And you tell me when I could just tell when I had the dream that it was of God. So you tell me what you get out of it, Bell.
Well, first off, you know, the moon usually could represent different things. Some people in secularism say, oh, it means 1 month, but according to the Bible, the moon reflects the sun, so the moon is a symbol of the church. It's a symbol of the bride because we reflect the light of Jesus to the world. So a full moon at a certain time of the year is called a harvest moon. So if you see a full moon in a dream, it can often mean harvest. And, I mean, I think just the fact what you said is pretty obvious. I've never been told that people will be coming back during the tribulation. God's never told me that. I know a lot of people think they're going to come back and serve and witness. And just from what I'm hearing, it sounds like that's kind of like, you know, it sounds like you're going to have some work to do. Whatever it is, I'm not quite sure, but it sounds like God has a plan for that.
Amen. That's kind of what I got from it. And I had a couple friends that also do dream interpretations, and they said the only thing they added was that the color blue signified, I guess blue is a color for the Holy Spirit. And they said blue signifies the Holy Spirit moving with you towards and leading you towards this church. So, but yeah, that's what I got out of it, and that's the same interpretations that I got from everybody else I talked to, too.
Michelle, are you still there?
Yes. One other thing,
like
is, I was wondering, is there somebody that could clarify the difference between, and I've read in the Bible, I understand where the 144,000 comes in and the 12,000 from each tribe, and I do understand that there are going to be descendants of God's chosen people, but I don't understand the significance when everybody's talking about are they in the bride or are they in 144?
Well, that's on you,
brother. You want me to take it?
Yeah, he wants to take this one.
I'll take it. Well, all right. The bride of Christ, you know, Christ is coming. He's going to, you know, there's going to be a rapture of multiple people, okay? The 144 are people that, and this isn't, I don't have scripture to back it up, but I do believe that they're people that are raptured and then sent back. I don't have scripture to back that up. That's just what I feel and what a lot of people that I know feel. But the 144, any way it goes, they're going to be on earth during the tribulation, but they are marked. It's the Revelation, it says they are marked with a seal of God on their forehead, and they are kept and not touched by any of the curses of the tribulation. They're here for it. They live through it and walk throughout, you know, the earth witnessing to people as they're not touched by the wrath that's unleashed on the earth. The bride of Christ is the people that are raptured and are in the wedding feast, some of which I think are going to be the 144. Again, I don't have scripture to back that up, but I believe the 144 will be part of the bride of Christ and then come back to earth as the judgments start falling, and then we'll witness. Little John, I don't know, you said you follow John and Judy.
Yes.
John actually told Judy to tell me that I was one of the 144, and to get out, to get over the fact that I was always worried about not getting enough work done for the Lord because I would come back and be one of the 144 that had work to do in, you know, as, you know, a witness of the 144. That's, you know, but there'll also be, it says that anyone that calls upon the name of Jesus will be raptured, and, you know, they'll get out of here too, but they're not part of the bride or part of the 144. I mean, that's just how I get it. You know, that's my interpretation. Again, seek the Lord on yourself. You know, everybody needs to, you know, seek for themselves. I don't claim to know anything. That's just what I feel the Spirit tell me when I get into it.
Right.
Some of it has scriptural backing. Some of it is just, you know, words from the Holy Spirit. Does that help any?
Yes. In fact, just talking about it helps me a lot because, I mean, like I said, it's kind of an insatiable thing. Like, I just want to talk about God and talk about it with people who are excited. What I find is that when I talk about it with the people who are open to talking with me, they kind of grow distant after a little bit. I guess when they find that I'm excited, they just, I don't know, I find that they fade. And
I find that is because, and this is why I know that there are, God says, the Bible says that many are called, but few are chosen, okay? I believe that is because many get the call to, you know, every Christian, every believer in God gets the call to prepare for the end. You know, even if you find it in Psalms, you know, all over the place. You read the book of Psalms, and David talks about the end so much, it's ridiculous. There's so much prophecy in David. I read, like, you know, I read Psalms 10, I think it was. And I was like, what, did David travel to the future and sit here in 2014 and then go back and write this? Well, I mean, and a lot of people, like, and Judy says it, and I feel it, and Jason feels it, and others feel it. You get this detachment where I wish I could financially just quit my job and just study and worship all day. I get that same feeling. I don't want to do anything. I don't watch TV anymore.
Yeah.
I watch sermons. I watch a lot of Perry Stone sermons, a lot of David Wilkerson, a guy named Jack Hobbs. He's got a lot of good sermons. I watch sermons all day. I'm in my Bible every waking minute I can. Prayer constant, worshiping constantly. You know, whatever I can do. I don't want to do anything else. And there's a guy I watch called Abraham Granillo. He's a little, he's a younger kid.
Yeah.
He's like 19,
mm-hmm.
20. And
yeah.
He actually says in one of his videos, he says, I wish I could just eat Bible truths all day. I don't even get hungry. I just want to eat Bible truths all day. And that's how I feel, and that's how the bride of Christ and the chosen feel. The called are happy in this world. They're content. They don't want the end of the world because they live for their natural, I got a decent life. I don't want it to end right now. You know, I'm happy where I'm at. I've got a decent job. I love my kids. I love my wife.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'm not ready to go yet. So God can't be coming back because I'm not ready for all that yet. Those
yep.
are the ones that are called but not chosen. The
yep.
people like us that are like, wait a minute, even if I've got a good job and I've got a great wife and I, you know, my life is happy and things are going great, who cares? I'm chosen, and God is coming, and I can't wait to see him because it's going to make all this look like garbage. Those are the ones that are chosen, the elect that can't do anything but think about God. And in this day and age, when you know it's time, you just don't want anything but God. And those are the ones that he's coming for.
That's true.
Hey,
man.
Chris.
Yeah, go ahead.
Guys, I'm sorry. We got 50... You know, a little less than an hour left in the show. You got 11 callers. I hate doing this because I love everybody. I want to help everybody. I spend all day doing it. I love it. I got to take these other people because there's a bunch of people that are calling in. I've never called in before. I'm not trying to be disrespectful, but I just want to make sure everybody gets a chance to share. Sorry,
yeah,
Michelle.
Like
I'm not
I
trying
said,
to cut
if
you
short. If you want to call us, I'll give you my phone number. You call me, you talk, we'll talk. I'm sure Embell will do the same. None of us have a problem with fellowshipping later.
Yeah, that'd be terrific. Thank you.
Yep.
Thank you, Michelle. God bless. Okay,
thank you, you
I've
too.
Got
God bless you.
413 coming on here. 413, hello. Hello, 413. 413 must have gone to the little Wrangler's room.
No, can you hear me
right,
now?
I'm going to keep 413. I can hear you now. I almost cut you. Oh, that was close.
I wanted to thank you so much for everything you just said. Thank you for educating the people. I will not take up the time of the other people who are waiting, but this is beautiful. Thank you. What a blessing.
God bless you, sister. I feel blessed every single day doing this. I get to do this for 4 hours a day, and I'm on, like, the biggest high. My wife, I try to tell my wife about everything that goes on in the show, and I just end up saying, like, 50 different things at once.
What an outpouring this is.
It's a blessing.
Yeah.
I have
Amen.
Let me
I'm
ask
addicted.
You really quick on the 144.
Jason,
go
I'm
ahead,
addicted.
Bill.
This is like my drugs.
Yeah.
Oh, I am too. I'm. This is
the 144. Jesus Christ says, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Whoever walks in the daytime will not stumble." And in another place, he says, "We need to work while it's still day, for the nighttime is coming when no one will be able to work." So we have this this meaning set up in the Bible of 12. Equaling work. And we see that in the 12 minor prophets of the Old Testament, the 12 apostles who worked for the Gentiles, the 12 foundation stones, and the 12 gates in heaven. So when you see the 144 in the Old Testament, we know this time is called the time of Jacob's troubles. The tribulation is the time of Jacob's troubles. So the 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes represents those who are working to bring in the full harvest during the time of Jacob's troubles. So, of course, it wouldn't be like the 144 evangelists, because the church isn't even mentioned after chapter 3, I believe.
That's good. I just want to keep moving along. I'm not trying to rush the show, but we've got just a ton of people calling in and we're blessed to have Bell. Guys, I want to thank Bell for being on here tonight and sharing stuff. I love him to death. I'm going to bring 614 on the line. Hello, 614.
Hi. Hi, my name is
Hello.
Beth. I just decided to call in
Hello.
Because I have an identical story to Michelle. It was
really
in, yeah, totally identical. I mean, it was October. And I'm in real estate, and, you know, I flipped a house and was going to all go invest and all that. And I just got paralyzed. I just couldn't do anything except sit around and try to figure out what was going on. And then I started in on, you know, well, the economy is troubling, and I was looking to God for answers. And what is the answer? What is the answer? What is the answer? And, you know, I got into the rapture, and so I did research on, well, is the rapture pre-trib, mid-trib, or what trib, or whatever, and I just have the identical story to Michelle starting in October, where I just was paralyzed in my business, had no interest, and just have to follow my gut, which is just sit in my chair and listen to YouTube videos and read the Bible and pray. So
it pulls you right in, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. I'm coming out of kind of like more of a Baptist denomination, so, you know, the supernatural stuff. You know, so I wasn't accustomed to hearing from God. But I've been asking for dreams, and I guess I would say that is my been my main success in hearing from God. I'm not to the point, you know, like Michelle, where I'd like to be and to hear his voice all the time.
Do you read the Bible?
Amen.
Yeah, I do. I read the Bible. I've enjoyed Rody's method of point and click or open and point.
But, well, I can tell you from my own personal experience, this is Chris, My own personal experience is until I started listening, because God, I kept hearing God telling me, saturate yourself with me. Stop asking for dreams. Stop asking for visions. Stop asking for confirmations. I told you I was coming soon. I want you to saturate yourself with me. Mm-hmm. And until I, and like I said, I've only had one dream. I do feel the Holy Spirit speak to me in my, you know, in my head, you know, kind of like a, you know, like a really loud conscience, you know. But you know, until I started listening to him and actually eliminating everything that he, you know, one day he tells me stop playing video games with your son, and another day he tells me I want you to get rid of the cable TV. Another day it was take all the DVDs that are in your house that are above PG-13 and go burn them. You know, then it was I don't want you watching any TV. I want you doing nothing but being in the Word. You know, and I've, until I started doing what he told me and what I felt him telling me to do and completely just saturating myself with nothing but him, you know, I didn't start to feel any kind of real peace or, you know, enlightenment on what I knew was coming, but I couldn't seem to grasp my, you know, my focus and what my calling was in it. And then I, you know, I just started feeling, okay, I get it, you know, I get a, you know, I get it, God. And I've gotten to that point where I'm like, Lord, okay, don't slap me again. I understand. I'll do what you said.
Hey, Chris.
Yeah,
Chris, hold on a second. Luco, are you here, brother?
Yeah, I'm here. I don't know when I'll have to get off, though, so if I have to just instantly get off, I'm sorry, but yeah, I'm here.
Hey, Luco.
Well, I mean,
did you have something
I had a journey
to share with the caller?
No, I mean, was just popping in. If anybody wanted to talk about anything with me, I was just here being open, so.
All right, sorry. Go ahead, ma'am. I didn't mean to interrupt.
Yeah, okay. So, no, it's okay. So my journey, you know, has been, you know, he was telling him to stop the cable and stuff like that. You know, and I haven't heard God tell me to do anything. But in the first, you know, couple weeks or months, you know, I had repentance issues. You know, it's like a lie I told 10 years ago suddenly would, like, pop in. I'd like, what? I can't believe that. You know, and so, you know, there were a couple things for repentance that I went through. But I still, you know, would like more direction on hearing God during the day because I only hear him at night.
I sit here, you know, I sit at work and read my Bible. It freaks people out. You know, I'm sitting there reading a Bible, and that's what I mean. And like Judy said, I don't know if you know who Judy and John are, but Judy said in a video a couple days ago or something that God speaks to everyone. Some people just aren't hearing him.
Right.
And until you have to catch it, and once you can tell what voice is his, then you'll be able, it really sounds like your conscience talking to you, telling you, stop doing that, or start doing this, or you see that guy on the side of the road, I want you to stop and, you know, pull your car over, and just see what he's doing walking down the road in a snowstorm, you know, or simple things like that, and until you start following those simple little directions, you know, sometimes you're going to feel like it's something, you know, it makes no sense, you know. If, you know, he just tells you, you haven't read my Bible enough today. Get in the Bible, you know. I try to read at least 10 chapters a day, you know, at least. Yeah, and that's just because that's what he told me. That's not, he said, you know, he even told me, he's like, that's not even close to enough, but do that for a start. So the more you will hear him. You just have to start. You have to start looking for him, and the more you saturate yourself with him, the easier it'll be to recognize what's his voice and what's yours.
Okay.
Thank you. You guys got anything else to add? I mean, that's just my perception.
No, you hit on it real well. I mean, when the Lord speaks to me, he pours out his spirit, my whole body shakes. I mean, I start to get the feeling that I'm going to cry, and that's when he does it. So I'm kind of happy that he doesn't sometimes do it during the day. He does it when I least expect it. If I'm in prayer, like this morning I was in really, what I would consider strong prayer, I was like, and he just told me, as I come home, and he did it in a joking way. And so sometimes it's just a couple of words and it's soft. And other times it's like, yeah, you're not going to do anything for the next 2 hours because I just poured my spirit out on you. Have faith that he speaks to you.
She's just trying to figure out how to get to that point that we're at,
I think for everybody it's different.
Yeah.
Luco, that's why I was trying to get him to pipe in. He's been hearing from the Lord, and his walk is very short. I mean, he's only been a Christian here for a very short time. He talks to the Lord all the time. Believe that he will talk to you. Absolutely believe that he will talk to you.
He already is. You just have to catch it.
Mm-hmm. And praying with other people, I think, is a big thing.
Yeah, that's another thing. One of the things I did when I first started out was I would start, when I was praying and praying in tongues, I would start to feel, or even just listening to some worship music, I'd throw on Jesus Culture or iBethel Channel and just jam out, and I would start to feel a tingling in my back. Well, I at first would feel a tingling in my back, and then it would slip away. Mm-hmm. And then when I started to feel that tingling, I realized, oh, that's the Holy Spirit coming over me. So then I would worship harder and get more in tune, try and focus more on my worship or my prayer or whatever I was doing. And then the next thing you know, my legs were tingling and shaking, my feet are bouncing, and then next thing you know, I'm just uncontrollably crying and same thing, and that's the Holy Spirit coming over you, and you have to relinquish control. And it's really because our bodies have always been trained to not let anything else control them. It's mm-hmm. kind of a hard thing to get to because you actually have to just give control of your body and your functions over mm-hmm. to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And ma'am, one last thing, because I got to take somebody else, but I do want to tell you this. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if it's applicable to you or whatnot, but it starts to feel like anxiety. It's the beginning of it is, for me, begins like a feeling of anxiety. And so if you're feeling that, go with it. Don't fight it. If you feel awkward, feel weird feeling, just don't fight it. Go with it.
Okay.
But
I'll try that. Thank you.
All right. I'm going to thank you so much for calling in and sharing too, ma'am.
Okay.
Have a wonderful evening. Okay, I'm going to bring 435. God bless. Thank you, ma'am. I'm so blessed to hear everybody all the time. I really am. Guys, I said it earlier. I hope I need to take Chris back off mute, because if you don't mute Chris, he will talk for 2 hours straight. Sorry, brother. I would say it again, and I don't care if I'm – I love every single one of you guys. I am so blessed to hear these stories and talk with people. I talk with Luco today. I talk with so many people throughout the day, guys. I am cloud nine all the time, and I'm so glad that everybody – Bell, you're helping out tonight. I really appreciate that. And, Chris, you're always a huge help. I love you, brother. Still want people
–
is 435 there? I think that's Mandy. I think Mandy's just listening. Okay, 518. I'm going to leave Mandy's one open just because I want to do that. But 518 is there.
Yeah, I'm here. It's Pete.
Hey, Pete.
How's it going, everybody?
Hey, Pete.
Pete
good.
From the West Coast, mm-hmm. guys. This guy, he's always on in the morning show. He's a good brother.
Yeah, I'm
I
here
haven't met
listen.
You. Huh? I said that I haven't met you yet. I'm Chris from PA. I'm always at work during the morning show. I can't call in.
Hi, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
I've heard about you. They mention you in the morning.
Oh, amen. Thank you, guys.
Oh, God bless
you.
I
enjoy just being able to fellowship and just share what little bit of common sense I try to have.
Yeah, this is
all right,
great.
I'm going to pull these other people
fun.
On.
Yeah, keep going.
I'm going to keep pulling people. 205, which I have a hint of who this is. 205, are you there?
Yes, it's Love Revelation, Katie.
Hey, Katie.
Oh, hi, Katie.
I'm just kind of listening right now. Y'all can speak. I'll say something later.
All right. Guys, we're all blessed to have Katie here. She's the one that put a bunch of this stuff together, so God bless her.
Well, Dave, you did an awesome job taking over.
Thank you very much. I'm so blessed to do it. 864 has been holding for 17 minutes, so I'm pretty sure I probably ought to bring them on. That's who?
Justin.
864 in the house.
Hey,
what's up,
I'm sorry,
you guys?
Brother. I didn't know you were been holding, man. I'm sorry. I didn't even recognize the number.
You're good, brother. I'm listening to you take control, host the show, man. Wonderful show. Wonderful show.
Well, it's pretty easy to do when you got 13 people calling in at once and everybody's got so many stories and you're just like, oh, my God,
exactly.
We got everybody on the line.
I'm just excited to hear the new stories, man. New people calling in. It's so awesome. So awesome. But, yeah, man, we're out of here. Hopefully today, probably tonight. For sure this
Amen,
night.
Brother.
I'll tell you guys what my biggest highlight today, my biggest highlight from today probably was the article that I found earlier in the Washington Times that said basically the U.S. economy will collapse on March 4th, 2014. And if anybody's listening right now, you want to look this up, go to Google, type in Washington Times, and then type in the date March 4th, 2014, and it'll take you to their website. But the article is just mind-blowing, and it basically says the economy will collapse in March.
Well, you know what, I mean, I don't know, Dustin, if you ever heard John Hagee, you ever heard him preach?
Yes, I have.
He does a sermon on the four blood moons, and he says, I can predict when the economy will collapse. And everybody's like, really, really? Oh, you know, because he moves prophetically, amazing. You know, and everybody's like, really? And everybody shuts up, and they're like, when? And he says, the economy will collapse when Jesus removes his church, because we're the cow that keeps this government running, because there ain't no other taxpayers except the Christians. So once the Christians are gone, there's no tax money. And that's when the economy is going to crumble.
You're right. You know, John Hagee, I hope John Hagee, you know, I haven't really heard him speak about the rapture, and I was just about to say I'm glad he did, but every time I hear him, he talks about those four blood moons and talks about different things. You know, I hope he's preaching salvation because, you know, I'm not getting out here to talk about people, point people out, but, you know, I just heard something negative, nasty that Paul Begley just said to someone, and it just makes me think, okay, wow, you have a certain image that you need to uphold. You have to be a role model for people. If you call yourself a watcher or a prophet, or anything like that, then you need to come across to people a certain way. And I know I've made mistakes before too, especially when I first got my channel. You know, people say certain things to me. I wanted to just go off, but the guy was like, "No, you can't do that.
Rises up, brother, especially when you're young. When I was 20, I'd have been choking people out for saying some of the stuff they said to you. You know.
You're right.
Well, I think there's a whole new level of evil that's being played because these people, when they're putting other Christians down, they're coming across as nice in a way because they're like God bless or in Jesus' name, but they're not being. I mean, what they're saying is totally off base. So
they're like die slow, God bless. Like, no, you can't do that.
The bottom line is. And I'd get on these guys' channels because a lot of them have the gifts of the Holy Spirit and they have God's anointing on them. But when it comes to something that they don't agree with or they don't see as possible, they freak out and allow their flesh to rise up. And I used to get on there and debate with them and say, look, I don't get a date. You know, I'm I'm one of the few of this group of people that I've never been told it's going to be 2013 or it's going to be Christmas or anything. I don't get dates. I get told, you better straighten up, son, because I'm coming soon. That's it.
Yeah, that's it.
Amen. And I want to say this real quick, and I know Jason, you got to bring some more callers on. I just wanted to say this really quick. This is confirmation for us. When you see people on YouTube that are, they call themselves watchmen, and they know we're in the end times, but they're not exactly pastors, and they're not really, they don't really have a ministry, and they come off as evil. They're just confirmation for us because they do have good stuff on their pages. Now, you know, we don't have to support them, but I'll just tell you guys, I mean, Paul Bettany just came off and said a comment to John and Judy, basically saying that they're evil, and he hopes that they get delivered from their evilness. Now, come on, everybody on this line knows John and Judy is not evil, so what
and
does that make Paul
Bettany? He's praying for them.
Now, John and Judy didn't say anything to...
Paul Bettany said that?
Are you kidding
me? Yes, he said that, Jason. Yes, he
did?
Said that.
Wow.
Their last video.
And John and Judy didn't
say anything
to
Paul. You
guys,
I told you guys the other day I didn't like Paul Bettany.
Jason, we were just talking about that the other night.
I'm disappointed, Jason.
We went an hour long talking after the show on today.
What's that, Stacey?
Well, you know what?
I
believe that God's knowledge is given to us. He doesn't charge us for it. So anybody, and I've always been a little sketchy. I mean, Paul Bettany he gives good information. But I've always been a little sketchy about anybody that charges for the knowledge that God gave you freely.
Amen.
If you're going to write a book, you know, like I watched a guy named Frank DeMora, and he can't afford to publish them and give them out. So what he does is he writes his books online and gives them out as electronic books, and you can go on his website and download any information that God blessed him with. He will bless you with for free via download. He doesn't charge. He doesn't ask for, just like Stephen Ben Dinoon. I believe he is a gifted Messianic Jew. You know, I like his words. He's got a good word. And the past month, he wants to go back to Israel and move to Israel. So all he's been doing for a month straight is asking people for money to go back to Israel and move his family back to Israel. You know,
hold on. Just one second.
There's a few bad apples
just
out there,
Chris.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Guys, I've said it before, and as much as I would like to just go on a complete tirade about picking apart Paul Bettany and his inability to do something effectively, I'm not going to, but I can be reminded of the fact that the Lord showed me that if it's not from the Holy Spirit, then which means it's not out of love, then what you're doing isn't right. Edification is done with love and care and respect. And I don't care who's gotten to him or what it is. I wasn't a fan of him before. I'm actually angry about this one. You got too many followers trying to push one personal agenda. This is tyranny. And it's in the body of Christ. It divides the body of Christ. And I don't want to give Paul Bagley's name not one more mention because I don't want anybody else
Amen.
To get angry.
I need to repent. We're stupid.
Let me just share
life.
Something with
no,
you, and then we'll stop the negativity. Or the criticism.
You're right,
okay,
Jason.
Let me
we need to just let it go because I don't want to get angry over here. I just want to let it go.
It's all right.
Yeah, let's go on the positive tip. I don't want to hear any like little conclusion to the whole thing.
Well, hold
Sorry.
On. Hold on. I want to go. I want to do Stacey. No, your brother. I'm not that. It's just I want to hear from Stacey,
yeah.
And then I want to hear from Belle, and
no,
then we got to do somebody
else.
I was just
saying, yeah, you're right, because I really, I'm kind of because you know what, we gotten some mail in my inbox, and it was really hateful stuff, and I wanted to like go back and just really like respond it, and the Lord said, hold your peace. And let me fight this battle. And I want to, God doesn't really need us to defend Judy because I wanted to. And I'm disappointed with what I heard. And I really just believe that we should just move on. And because I don't want to get angry. And I don't want other people to have that anger in their heart and everything. But you know what? It's the seed. Whoever's getting, it's the seed. I'm like, people don't realize that there's so much love on this channel. There's so much love coming from Judy and John and all you guys. the love, that's the seed. Look at the fruit you are. Look at the fruit that is producing, and you know who's right. We're not angry. We're not getting upset. We're not bashing anyone. We're just showing the love of God, basically, and that's where the
Amen.
Fruit is.
And let's not let that change.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Guys, one more thing that I want to talk about. Do you think it would be better if we took less callers and focused more on it? I don't like rushing through stuff, and like the girl Michelle was calling in earlier, and I felt kind of pressed in time, and I felt like she needed more.
Yeah,
you know,
well,
is it a better balance, do you think,
speak,
to have?
Know?
Well,
yeah,
sorry. Jason, I got an idea for that if you guys want to hear it. God just said to me, what God just said to me is there's enough of us that has enough of a little bit of knowledge that if we want, if somebody still needs to talk, rather than take up the chat room, just pass out a phone number and say, hey, let's call and let's do an individual prayer session or fellowship session with that person.
Or you can press the number 1 and then you can just let us get in the queue, and when you're comfortable or as the Holy Spirit guides you, you'll let it go. And if some people don't get talked to, you know, it'll be as the Holy Spirit leads you type of thing. I mean, it's kind of tough because it's nice to have I'm used to the morning where it's a lot less people, I think, where, you know, you're more comfortable letting people talk. But with this, there's a lot of new people, and I don't mind just sitting back and listening.
You know, the purpose of the show is to help everybody, of course. We're sharing stories. I want to make sure everybody gets, you know, when people share stories, I get hit with the Holy Spirit and I get excited.
That is like 15
and that's
minutes,
what I hope for everybody else.
Yeah.
And keep calling in every night if you guys can't get into the show. Keep calling. Keep listening.
I'm bringing
prayer.
In.
You know, listen,
I'm bringing in 450.
About it.
Hold on, yeah, brother. We got 450 just came on the line.
Yes, I just wanted to add something that Dustin said just a few minutes ago about the 4th of March. This is André calling from Canada. I just ran across something very interesting this morning. I don't know if you know Lyndon LaRouche. Does anything ring a bell to you?
Yes.
Yeah, he's the one that talked about the coming nuclear false flag and the plan to destroy the...
Yeah, well, this morning put on the internet some teleconference he had on the 3rd of February, just a couple of days ago. And, he was talking about, according to him, he was talking about some kind of all-out nuclear thermal war for the 1st of March, even. He even said, like, either for the first or before, and he was explaining the tension that was happening right now between the U.S. and Russia, like they were messing around in Ukraine and even saying they want Ukraine to be something that would bring the Russian people to get rid of Putin. And so Russians were, like, taking that as a sort of a declaration of war or something. So maybe these guys know something about March, because that was the second guy I was reading about. Some economist also said on another article I read about that 4th of March, and his declaration was the 4th of March would be the end of the world. Now, he was talking, of course, about the end of the economic world, but I don't know. Maybe there's something that's brewing for the beginning of March that would be good for us. The rapture would have to come before that. So I don't know.
On a light note, I gotta say that anybody that has any kind of Illuminati plans or plans for the end of the world, I'm sure they've seen Dustin Wright's channel. And just to say that Wright was wrong, they'll wait from March 4th till March 5th to do it.
Yeah. And especially since the...
And guess what? You know why else they'll do that? Because my birthday is March 4th.
Oh,
oh, there you go.
It'll be his second birthday.
And guess what? God told me months ago I wouldn't see 21, and I'm supposed to turn 21 March 4th. So,
okay.
We'll see.
Amen.
Especially since the fact that the Olympics this year are in Russia. So concerning that, the head-to-head U.S.-Russia tension right now, it could just like blow up during the Olympics or something. They might
even in mainstream news, not just the real news that we watch, in the fake news, they're even stating that we're coming into the second Cold War. Is what they're calling it.
Oh, we've
so
been
I'll leave
there.
You with that. I'll hang up.
What's God's plan? That's what I want to focus on. Is that what is the outpouring of the revival that will spread over the world and His grace and power? You know, these guys have been the devil's been trying to get a little opening to destroy us for eons, and they want to put a date on it and say okay, but I think we also just seek the Lord's face a little bit more on this. You know what I mean?
Amen.
It's doom and gloomy. And
it's not
you know, he doesn't want
to
us
though,
to
brother,
revel
it's...
in the billions of people that will die. You know,
there's two sides to that. I don't want to see anybody die, but I want Jesus to come. And
well, also you
and
have
that's
to remember,
the deal of it is
in the book of Revelation, it states that anyone that calls out to the name of the Lord will be saved. So you got to think, all these millions of people that you think, oh, it's going to be terrible, they're going to die, you have to remember, all they have to do is look up, see a meteorite, or see a nuclear bomb coming, or whatever, or hear on the news World War III is starting, all they have to do is irk out the name Jesus, and they're saved. I mean, they're not going to be wearing crowns and in the bridegroom, you know, in the bridal feast like we are. But they'll be saved. So
there'll be a reaping. There'll definitely be a reaping. They won't see a
all right,
nuclear
guys,
bomb
got people
coming.
That are still holding.
But
we can debate World War III. It's going to happen. But you know the bride's going. I don't want to get. I want to stay stuck on the good news of Christ coming.
Yeah.
And you know what? I do feel bad for anybody left behind. But I'm not looking back once I start getting raised up. But
yeah.
I want to bring 614 on the line. I'm sure they're going to bless us with a wonderful story. 614, how
hey.
Are you?
Hey, this is Chris. I'm good, and I have already spoken tonight, so I'm done. Thank you. You guys are awesome.
Thank you, Chris.
Blessings to you, sister.
Didn't mean to keep you on hold there.
Fill the Holy
all right,
Spirit
I got
with
one
you.
More here. And absolutely. 973 is now on the line. We can kind of relax here in the last 17 minutes of the show. Feel free to call in, guys, but 973.
I'm 973.
Yes, you are.
In New Jersey. This is Patricia Owens. Judy, I'm the lady who's going to
hi,
share
Patricia.
These Swedish meatballs with you up in heaven.
Hear that, Judy? She's going to share meatballs with you and not us.
No, she wrote me how she loves Swedish meatballs, and I told her that's one of my most favorite things. So I said we're gonna fight over them at the wedding feast at the table, you know.
So,
you guys
want to?
You guys
want to? The Swedish meatballs too.
Listen, you want a powerful angel story that saved my life? This will rock you. Real quick, my daughter and I used to live in Westport, Connecticut, so we went back to visit, and she said, well, let's go to so-and-so to have some coffee. So I said, okay, let's go. So off the main road, there's an exit 42. As I was going around the exit, this deep voice within me said, keep the same speed. Do not go any faster. And I'm like a little kid with God, and I believe in the guardian angels, and I've had stories before with angels. So I obeyed, and I went very slow. There was a traffic light. Whoosh, this big beige car doing at least 80 miles an hour shot right across my bow. Had I not listened to that voice, I wouldn't be on the phone.
Amen.
You know, that's just one.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
So listen, you know, if you love God and you're sincere with him, you know, he looks at the why of everything, not what you did or what you said or whatever. Why? Did this honor me? Did this do good for your neighbor? Are you sincere with me? Do you really want a relationship? And if you can say yes, then, you know, don't fear. Just spend every moment with him and just love him. Just love him. He wants our love so much, guys. He really does. He just wants our love so much.
Thank
just
you
include
for saying
him in
that,
everything.
Sister.
Yes.
Amen. Thank you for saying that. That's all I feel is about the Lord's love, and I'm so glad
yes.
you said that.
That's what he wants. He wants to be part of the family. He is human like us. He has a heart like us. He feels like us. He cries like
Amen.
Us. He
He's
laughs
a real
like
person.
Us. So include him and say, Jesus, I love you. Let's go shopping together. Or I'm going to make the beds. Help me do my housework. Just tell him. I'm going to do dishes. Stand by me. Put your arm around me and talk to me while I'm doing the dishes. He loves this. He can't get enough of being family. You know, he can't.
Hey, we've got to find out his area code so we can watch. And if he calls in to Blog Talk, we don't keep Jesus on hold. Is that clear, guys?
You never know when you're entertaining angels.
Girl.
Amen.
Oh,
but
so,
I hope someone prays. I hope someone leads a prayer to before this night is out with the call, you know?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Exponentially,
we'll do it at the end of the show,
like
brother.
All of us believing it will happen, whatever
yeah.
is prayed.
Right. We just
have
well,
to we make sure we watch
Bill?
The clock and all do that at, like, you know, like 8:20 or 8:25 or something.
That'd be great, brother. Hey, Bill, are you there, brother?
Yeah, I'm here.
You know, we've had a lot of people call in tonight, and I know it's kind of hard to get you in on some of this stuff, but I always like to hear. You know, you've heard a lot of different things tonight. Is there anything you want to add to or explain about some of the themes that we talked about?
Yeah, well, this is just something God revealed to me when all the people were making the negative video responses on YouTube. God really opened up my eyes, and I read the passage in Acts where Peter was on the rooftop, and God let down the sheet of all these unclean animals. And God said, stand up, Peter, and eat. And Peter's like, no way, God. I'm not going to eat nothing. These are unclean. I'm a Jew. I've never had this stuff. And God says, what I have called clean, do not call dirty. And one of the reasoning behind this is you have the things they weren't supposed to eat in the ocean, which were bottom feeders and shellfish. These things live on the bottom. They feed on all of the waste. They're slimy like catfish. You know, they're disgusting. They're slimy. They feed on the muck. And then you have pigs, and they roll around. They roll around in filth all day long. And then you have, so you have the bottom feeders. And then you have, like, the flying fish, you know. I think that's what some of us are. You know, we're on the surface. We like the sunlight. Sometimes we might, you know, fly too high and whack a person in the head or fly into a boat or something. But we like being... We don't want to be on the bottom. We want to be close to God. We want to be close to the movement of the Spirit. But what God, you know, even though these people persecute and hate, what God has made clean, we cannot condemn. It, you know, as Christians, we have to choose if we're going to be bottom feeders or if we're going to, you know, be on the surface and be close to the Spirit and live in the light.
I want to live in the light.
Amen.
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 When I look at a person and I see them acting up and they don't have God in their heart, I picture that person loving God, and it just changes your perspective. And the main thing is to pray for everybody and say, take Satan out of their lives. I had my daughter on last night, and I had to rebuke the enemy over the phone. She couldn't sleep. She had all kind of problems. She slept for 5 hours after I talked to her 3 hours about God.
Amen.
And it's like she, I said, you get yourself to church. And you just have Jesus all the time with you. And first time in months, she slept. So you rebuke the enemy. Don't be afraid. Say, Satan, in the name of Jesus, get out of here now. I have nothing to do with you. And be strong in it, because he was in you was
Amen.
Stronger than he was in the world. You've got to rebuke. If you do it 5 times a day, 10 times a day, he, and the Bible says, resist him, and he will flee. Okay? So remember to do that. Around
Amen.
Just,
hallelujah.
Even if
Amen.
You're with them. If you're with them and you can't talk to them, say it in your heart. Say, Jesus, I'm praying for this person. Take Satan out of their life right now. And the enemy hears you. He knows. He knows what you're about. And he's going to get sick of being around you, and you're constantly telling him off and to go. But always use the name of Yeshua or Jesus. Oh, jeepers, don't
Jesus.
Do it without the name. Amen. Always
Amen.
Say the name of Jesus.
You
don't rebuke without it. Oh,
lady.
Boy.
There's power in that name.
But never give up on a soul. Always see how you can get them away from Satan and get them into the Lord, because you know, you have to have that compassion toward people. You have to realize they need help, you know, and they may not want to listen to you, but you can pray for them. You can pray for them, and Jesus hears you, and he knows you're concerned about that person, and he'll answer your prayer.
Lord Jesus, I pray protection for Judy and John and their family, Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
I pray that your mighty
wings
surround them, Lord.
Yes.
That it
is
impenetrable, anything that is of the devil. Lord Jesus, we pray for the love of God to pour on them. They're instrumental in this rapture, capture thing that we're doing.
Right.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
It's not just them getting these messages. There's so many people. There's a three-year-old kid, a story of a three-year-old kid, and he said to his mom, I want to go home. She says, you are home. He says, no. He pointed to the ceiling. I want to go with Jesus. So it's all
Amen.
Over. It's all over.
It
it's
is.
All over.
It's happening.
Amen.
It's all over.
Peter, thank you for doing that prayer, brother.
Amen.
Yeah, that was from Holy Spirit. I've been
that's
speaking
good. That's
in tongues
good.
Praying, and that's what I heard to do, so I'm going with it. Right?
Beautiful.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what we do.
Cover everything with his precious blood and holy wounds. You have to do. Before you go on the computer, ask the Holy Spirit. This can be a weapon of Satan, too. When you go on the computer, Holy Spirit, guide me. Don't let me get into stuff I'm not supposed to that's going to offend you.
Pray that the internet is filled with the Holy Spirit and just it throws the enemy way off. The whole world is covered. And our one prayer, and it will just work.
Always pray before you go on. Yeah. That I always pray because you can get so sidetracked with nonsense, you know, and people send you stuff, and they'll send you a joke. Maybe it's not so off, but I know that'll offend God. So I say, no, I'm not opening that. I'm not. I'm not going to risk offending him. And this was a good person, you know, but they just, they'll fine-tuning.
Is there anybody else on the phone? What's the next guy on the line, the person on the line?
Well, everybody that's actually called in is just listening, but everybody is unmuted, so everybody actually can talk right now. It's the last nine minutes of the show here, or the last 8 minutes of the show. I really just want to kind of let whatever needs to come out, come out. You know, I sit here and I listen, and I hear people speaking in tongues. I hear people praying for another. I hear this nice lady here calling in and encouraging the same thing. We're all just so blessed, and this is the place where it happens. This is where it's okay for all that to go on. So whoever has anything to share or whoever wants prayer or anything like that, this is the time.
What's the scripture I'm thinking of, Bell? You're more knowledgeable. What I have set aside, let no man put asunder. What's that scripture? What am I thinking of?
Oh, about marriage. About marriage.
No.
What God has joined together, let no man put asunder?
Yes, that's it, yes.
That's marriage.
And maybe talk about marriage. I see it about our fellowship. Do not.
Amen.
If
the Lord is for you, who can be against you?
Our fellowship. We are coming together 2 hours a night, every night, to fellowship. I feel the Spirit over me right now.
Oh, sure.
We are blessed with each other across the nation, in other nations. We got people calling in from Canada, people calling in from England. God has brought us together for a reason this time to keep each other strong so we do not get sucked under, so we do not get deceived. God is even using pastors and people that we listen to. To attack us, and we will not bow. We will not bow. We are here in the name of God, fellowshipping together. Do not let it be broke.
No,
God has put us on. Do not put us under. Amen.
Amen.
When we have more time, I'll tell you about my first time I was baptized in the Holy Spirit at 20. I'm 70 now. Okay, and I was baptized when I was 20, and then whoa, you know. But another time I'll tell you, you know, because it was powerful. It was very powerful.
I want to hear that.
You want to hear that? Do we have time?
Yeah.
This will blow you out of the water. I just got married. I was 20, and someone was talking to me about prayer meetings. And I'm going to go, what? Prayer meeting? Well, come with me. Before we got there a little late, 5 minutes, 10. before we entered the double doors, I could feel the Holy Spirit in the hallway. And it could cut it like pea soup, they say. And I said, oh, wow. I said, I didn't say anything. And I said, whoa, that's got to be God. Because I was searching for him. And I was a Barbizon model. Honey, I had high boots on and a little mini skirt. And the Holy Spirit didn't care what I was
Westport
wearing.
Girl.
Let me tell you. Listen, I went in. Metal chairs in a circle. I sat down. I felt like a current going through me, and I'm new to this. I didn't know what was happening. When the Holy Spirit wants you to speak, he puts a pressure on your throat. I don't know if anybody's ever
Amen.
Felt that. And you speak. I spoke this time in a mini skirt and high boots and my makeup and everything, and everybody had golden halos around them, okay? When I went home, I had such a hunger for scripture, and this is going to blow your mind. This is the bride part. Every song that came on, I felt like Jesus was wooing me and courting me. It's 50
Amen.
Years. Yeah.
Your husband,
yeah.
Sister.
It's never ended. The being in love with him is so great. His presence is so strong to me all the time. And
awesome.
And it's just incredible. And I've been married 50 years. My husband was an alcoholic. I've been on the cross so many times. I've had 5 kids. I've had 1 die. 4-5 grandkids, 1 die. You know, I've been on the cross, but his presence is there. And if you ask him, and I remember when I was 8 years old, I looked up to heaven and said, if you're the answer in life, then let my whole life be a search for you. How does an 8-year-old say that to God? And he never forgot that. And even with all the horrible trials and the drinking and no parents since I'm 10, he's been in my life. But you've got to invite
him.
He's
awesome.
Gotta,
he's forgiving.
He leaves
he's
us
merciful.
Free. You've got to invite him. Jesus, I want you. I want you in my life. I love you.
I invite you.
You
in, Lord Jesus.
Yes. 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 And one day I'll tell you more angel stories. And I'll blow you even one more powerful. But I don't think we're running out of time.
I fell off a cliff skiing one time. I was
in the
French Alps, and I slipped going through the trees, and I heard a voice say, cover your head. And I did a tumble between giant trees and landed on my feet.
Well, there you go.
It was a miracle.
When we have time, I'll tell you a tornado story where the woman, just quick, the woman was in the car, up in the air, spinning, and with the kid in the back, screaming, and Jesus tells her, put it in park. And she says, what, are you crazy? I'm up in the air, spinning, and you're telling me, put it in park. The car landed right in front of a house, so she had it in park.
Wow. There was a tornado forming. There was a tornado forming in front of my house, and the Lord had me rebuke it, and it went away.
Yes.
And that's the power
you
we live
can
in.
Rebuke
we
the
can
storms.
Rebuke
you can.
Storms.
Yes. Yes. There's a weather blessing than when we have more time. You can rebuke them. You can rebuke them. And there you go.
Well, guys, the good,
there's a story
the good
about
thing is,
quail.
Is, you know,
yeah. Go ahead.
Guys, I'm going to tell you, we got 3 minutes left here, but it's okay. The show keeps going. It goes into podcast time, so the people in the chat won't be able to hear, but everybody that's on the line is absolutely welcome to stay on the line and keep talking. So, ma'am, if you're holding stories back because you don't think we have time, sit
Let
back and relax and tell your story.
I got a couple of views for you.
All you're doing is taking
I'm
is
here,
the,
I'm listening.
The Jason and Chris time.
Yeah. You let me know if you want me to tell you.
Go ahead. We still got an hour.
Listen.
Absolutely.
I was looking at this thing on Yellowstone. They're very concerned about it going off. I don't know if you heard of Steve Quayle, but he my friend sent me something online. She said there was a man who went over and he prayed over the caldera, and Jesus let him know that it's been put to rest, that we don't have to worry about it going off. So that's online.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
Yeah. The other story, if you want the angel story, my mother-in-law had to quick get to the airport to go back to Nova Scotia, and we were in the car going 65 miles an hour, and all of a sudden I started shaking, and I got this vision of crashing through the windshield. In the 60s you didn't have seatbelts. I had the baby in my arms, 3 months old. I saw the blood. I saw everything. I saw the whole thing. And then all of a sudden, I'm starting looking, and we're in the fast lane, and everyone's looking at me like I'm nuts. And I said, and then I saw it, the guy, and I screamed, stop. We pulled right up. The man was standing by the trunk, and we pulled around gently, everyone in the back of me, and that was the angel showing me the whole thing before it happened, and we went right onto the airport. Had I
Amen.
Not been shown that, you can figure out the rest. What we're
I don't mean to interrupt, but can somebody put mute? If you're on speaker, put it on mute if you're not talking, because we can hear the reverberation of it.
Yeah, I can hear it.
No, it's not on speaker. No.
Somebody's on speaker, and if you're not talking, just put it on mute, and then we won't hear that.
No.
Amen.
Yeah. Hey, Judy didn't call in tonight, did she?
I listen in speaker, and I turn on mute.
Judy's not on?
No, she's not on tonight. I was trying to get her to call in before it goes.
That's why I was talking about the meatballs.
ma'am, she's here. She hears you. She's just in the chat room.
Oh, she hears
you.
She's just, okay. I love her.
We love
she's
you,
so
Judy.
Sweet. Oh, she's so brave. Oh, my gosh, she's so brave. She's like
Jason
refreshing.
Jason and I haven't been ripping on her, so it didn't give her a reason to call in.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I talked
to
her a bunch today on the phone, so.
She doesn't want to have to answer to anything, probably, or. She's just probably talking.
We love you, Judy. We love you. Hang in there. You're very brave. You're very honest about things.
Hi,
it's beautiful.
Hey,
hi.
How are you?
Is that you, Chris?
Hey.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Is she pretending to be me again?
I'm not sure who that is.
That was me. That was Peter. That was me making weird.
Oh, okay.
Oh, gotcha.
Okay. Oh, gosh. Can you just see all us guys up in heaven once we're up there? I mean, we'll be all hanging around out by a tree or something, talking, and Jesus will go, what are you guys still? You know, you think you're on the phone still?
Well, that's what I said. I've been joking with everybody for a couple nights saying, we're going to be on Blog Talk Radio, all chatting on the phone. And then the next thing you know, we're going to be sitting around, you know, still talking like we're on the phone, sitting around the wedding feast table.
Well, say,
and we'll be able to keep talking and just have some really great food.
Yeah,
Jesus,
like
Jesus
has, meatballs.
Jesus has a great sense of humor.
That's
one thing that we really have to fathom, that he loves to laugh and tell stories.
Does.
I can't wait for that.
I know. Yeah. I've read stories of heaven where they say he just is laughing and the kids are around him and it's just so much fun and it's beautiful.
Thank you.
And everyone's happy all the time.
He says that's what we're getting. We're going to be getting that big time.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, you think he wants us to be miserable and mean for eternity?
Heaven is within you. So try to make heaven on earth, you know. Try to be that happiness and joy. Then others look at you and say, I want that too. Why are you that way? Well, I love the Lord, you know, and you can start talking about God. And it works. It works. Another
Does
thing
anybody
that
have angel stories? I want to hear more angel stories. That sounds interesting.
No, those were my two goody ones. Oh, boy.
I heard I read a story of angels during World War II. The British were retreating in the beginning of World War II, and the Germans were going to squash them. And the English boys that were going into the medical tents were saying there was a golden knight holding a sword up on a horse. And it ended up that the Germans had turned around because they saw the army of God standing protecting them from the Germans squashing them.
I've heard such stories, yes.
And
there was a missionary.
The boys were dying saying these stories. As they were dying from this, and I feel the Holy Spirit come over me. And that's where we are at.
Mm-hmm.
We have the army of God standing with the sword out. Do not touch. If he is for us, who can be against us? And that is the bottom line.
Exactly. There's a story of the missionary, and this is a true story. He was... The natives came and they were going to behead them and kill them and everything. And then the missionary was on his porch and he said, I guess we'll just say our prayers, we're going to die. And all of a sudden, all these natives started backing up and backing up and backing up. Well, later, the head one had converted to Christ. So the missionary saw him. He says, what happened that day? I thought we were going to be killed. You guys were coming up and all around the house. He said, Who were those soldiers all around your house? Who were those strong men? There were these men all around your house with swords, and we backed up because we knew we'd be dead. They were angels. There was nobody there.
Amen. Awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, so you have a guardian angel. Every day tell them thank you. You know, just thank you, my angel, for watching over me, and I love you, you know. Just tell your angel thank you, and I love you. And there's just tons of stories. Mother Angelica from the EWTN, when she was 12 years old, she was standing in the street, a car came, an angel pulled her straight up and put her right over the car. And that's one of the reasons she became such a religious, because she knew God was right there taking care of her, and people witnessed it, you know. So she was saved that way. A lot of stories like that, a lot of stories. The angels are there. Just tell them thank you, and I love you, and...
They would want us to thank the Lord, but I pray for the angels to be given strength, and and I thank the Lord for them. Pour more for them. Pour in more, because a lot of them are losing battles with people being lost. You know,
yeah,
they do everything they can.
God gives you free will,
but our prayers
give
them
force
strength.
That's why you just got to keep praying and praying for conversions. You know, and never give up. Never give up. And
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I was curious if when the bride is taken, are we going to see the struggles on earth with the people still going through trib?
I have no idea.
I kind of think so.
I can answer that. It's Stacy. I had a vision years ago that we were watching, we're above the earth, and we were watching the stuff going on the earth.
Really?
But we were up above the earth. So.
Yeah.
That's something that I believe that we're going to be able to see the stuff going on the earth.
Wow.
But and I had this vision like in 19, probably 1996 or something like that. I didn't even understand it.
Wow. Sure.
If you're familiar with the teachings of Chu Thomas, anyone, she had experience where she went to heaven and God explained things to her. And one of the things that she said is that when she looked back on earth and at the tribulation and all these things, and like her mother being in hell and other experiences like that, she said that God put like a veil over her eyes so it did not make her sad.
Yeah.
Or something like that. So I think, even if we can see it, that it won't make us sad.
There's no more tears when we go there, but
no tears
but
heaven.
We pray.
Right.
We'll stay in prayer and we're in
tears
thankfulness,
of joy.
You know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that, you know, when you look through spiritual eyes, that things will be different and you'll see things differently. And so, you know, if you do see things, it won't have the same, it won't reflect the same emotions that it would now as a, whether you're a mother or, you know, whether it's your husband or your mother or your brother or whoever, whatever that feeling is. I mean, our love is going to be increased in heaven because we won't feel that sorrow. And so it'll be from a different view, I think. That's my opinion.
Could be. That sounds right. That sounds acceptable, just exciting days to be living, guys. I'm telling you, wow. Every day is like an adventure. You go on, I find things online, you know, and it's like, whoa. Anybody watch Pastor Paul Begley? He's a hoot. Are you serious? he's so funny. Yeah, he talks about everything and anything. And what? He's so funny. He's just a sweetheart. He really is. But he covers everything.
Yeah,
he
brings a lot of joy and brings a lot of the alternative views that most people wouldn't see.
And he tells us everything that's going on in detail, so, you know, and praying for everybody, you know, so he's got a good heart. He really does. There's quite a few out there.
Dabu 7 has some kind of informative stuff, too.
Yes. There's a
few. A suspicious observer I check out sometimes, but...
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't subscribe to these guys a little bit because it's almost a little bit, you know, it's a little bit venomous. You know what I mean? I don't know if that's me. Sometimes I've subscribed pages, and then I'm like, you know what, I have to unsubscribe, and I'll go peek over and
careful.
See what's happening over there, you know? But it's,
just pray to the Holy Spirit before you put something on, you know, and get a little feeling like, go to the next channel. He'll let you know.
There's a brother in Christ that I really have enjoyed, and I don't know him. I've never talked to him or anything like that, but he talks about he kind of goes in depth about what's going on with the news and what it could lead to. And what I really love is that he opens it up with prayer and he ends it with prayer. I mean, he's a wonderful brother, but it's Freedom Fighter 2127. And you know, I don't pimp anybody's channel or anything like that, but Freedom Fighter 2127. He's got a lot of great stuff, and I think he's just a wonderful brother in Christ.
Freedom.
You know, guys, I am so blessed. I'm set. I've said it several times, but, you know, Chris and Pete and Belle and all everybody that's on here, you know, we all come together on here, and I get such good fellowship out of it. And,
sure.
You know, I get out of here, and I wonder how the heck I'm going to fall asleep because, you know, hearing everybody and sharing everybody's stuff, and I just love it, and I can't believe I'm actually doing this. I mean, just to be here and be a part of it, and, everybody's a part of it equally, and I really appreciate it.
The major reason why this got kind of started up, and, I know she wants all credit to go to the Lord, but, you know, she steered me in this direction. You know, she's always responded positively, and she knows her stuff, and, you know, I've been seeking the Lord for a long time, and I don't think that I know, you know, I try to be humble in a real way and not, you know, I make my stand when I do, but I don't know.
Right.
Just throwing some props out to her.
All the glory goes to God. Yeah. All the glory goes to God.
Amen.
Yeah. Everything you think, say, and do, just see it pleases him, you know. Make that little effort, you know. And just stay close to him. You know, and stay in the Word, of course.
I thank God for putting these people in my life, you know.
Yes.
Just, you know, all of you guys, you know, and that's where I think it is, just that it's him working through you that we hear things. And
it's called building up the body of Christ.
Starting the blog talk was really a gift to me because I felt like I'd known all you guys, like, forever because I'd followed all the videos and, you know, but I couldn't fellowship with you, and I would see things, and you would see, you know, there would be things that people said in videos, and I'm like, I was just thinking that today. And then when you guys started this, I was like, man, I could tell them I was thinking it today.
Exactly. That's how God works.
Have you guys ever heard of Wings Radio with Miss Linkus? I forgot her name.
Yeah,
but she has
that's Glenda. Glenda, sure.
Glenda, she has a show at 9 o'clock tonight, which... I really feel that she's a woman of faith and a woman of God. So
definitely.
Probably at
9
o'clock.
Sweetheart.
I'm not sure we're going to, I think it's 3 hours at 9, right?
I've not
gone on that.
But her show's right on. I guys can give you the phone number if you want to call.
Oh,
do that if you want.
Please.
I'll look
at
my phone. Hold on.
Okay, good.
I'll try to keep my mouth shut.
If God wants
you
to say it,
say it. All right, so her number is, you guys ready?
Yeah.
818.
Yeah.
532-9761.
And you press 1.
Cool.
I guess.
So
like this one?
And she... And she, you know, in the sometimes you get a prophetic word right on the show, like the Lord will speak through her to you on the show.
Oh,
it's pretty
cool. Sure. She's a love. She's a sweetheart.
I've written her husband, who's in jail, and he's a real kind, good person. I mean, they really are a godly couple. They want to start in prison ministry and stuff like that.
Yes, that's very important. Very important work. That's one of the best things you can do for the Lord is bring, you know, Jesus to these people.
Oh, I had something I wanted to share earlier, but tonight was such a busy night, I didn't share it with you guys. And it,
go ahead.
It's nothing.
Wait
on. I mean, for I guess it's nothing great, you know, but Jason,
hey,
I understand where
great.
I'm coming from and anybody else that's gotten to know me a little bit. I had a guy at work today that is 35 days sober from heroin and approached me about God. And I was able to witness to him and tell him, look, hey, the key to staying sober, you know, I know you hear it in 12-step programs, you know, that it's your higher power. I said, but it's not a higher power. It's, you know, get a close relationship with God. Get a walk with God. Get in your word.
Sure.
And the closer you draw to God will, you know, help you stay sober, you know. I was able to witness to him.
Well,
he was open to hearing it. And for me, that was just, like a hurdle that I've been trying to get to, is feeling like I keep trying to witness to people and I can't seem to get anybody that's receptive. And I was feeling like a failure, like I can't get anybody brought to Christ, you know. And that was just a big obstacle of mine that I got over the guilt. And you know what's funny, Jason? As soon as I got over the guilt of it, within the day after of getting over feeling guilty about it, boom, somebody approaches me about God.
That Lord's,
yes.
That Lord's a funny guy, isn't he? He
Amen,
does some
brother.
Cool stuff.
Listen, when you make a morning offering, always offer your day to God, and when you start prayer, always praise Him first, and then you go into petition and thanksgiving and everything. But when you're making your morning offering, just say, Holy Spirit, what you got for me today, love? You know, you got somebody out there, I got, and He'll put that person, all you got to do is ask, He'll put that person right in your face. He will.
Yeah,
and He'll give you the wisdom.
Amen. Say, are you a minister? You know, I was like, what? No, I'm not a minister.
No, just a simple soul in love with Jesus, trying to do His work on earth, bring heaven to earth. You know, just simple
awesome.
and little of spirit. You know, but humble and just say, Lord, use me today. What can I do? You got somebody
Amen.
For me? Let me at Him.
Amen.
You know, and he will. Oh, He will. He will. He will. He will put people there that He's. You need to talk to. And He'll give you the words. Just say, Holy Spirit, you know, in that hour, you will know what to do. The Holy Spirit will give you everything. You just have to say to the Holy Spirit, use me. That's all He needs
Amen,
from you.
Yeah.
And the sincerity
Amen.
Of your heart. Just use
it's
me.
So
and
simple.
You watch through
you know,
your
it's,
day.
It's not complicated.
It's so simple.
Simple.
God's not complicated. He doesn't want complicated creatures. Simple. Just for the moment right now. Not the one coming. Not the one that just left. Right now, Jesus, I love you. What do you want me to do? You know, and oh boy, get ready. And
I know.
He might lead
he
you
doesn't
into
forget.
The ministry, prison ministry, or singing. You know, you'll know. If you're tuned into God sincerely, you will know. You will just have a knowing. No
blood
questions.
Of Jesus.
You know
what? I taste blood. I don't know. It's a little weird, but Lord,
yeah.
I pray the blood of Jesus
blood,
upon
yes.
everyone on this line.
Right.
The power of your cleansing blood, that they stand before you in the righteousness and in the armor of the Most High God, King
right.
of kings and Lord of the armies. Lord, we pray your mighty blessings and your gaze of fire upon them, Lord.
Right.
Put them where they're supposed to be, Lord.
Praise.
Keep
right.
them.
Yes.
And put on the armor of Christ, you know, the helmet, the breastplate, the girdle, the sword, the boots. Got to put that on every day to get rid of the darts.
Amen.
So that's our obligation, is to do these things that God said and to pray. You have to pray. You have to invite Him. He leaves us free. And when we say, Jesus, I love you, you can't imagine what that means to Him, because we're living by faith. We haven't seen Him. And by faith we're saying, Jesus, I love you. You're the center of my life. I can't think or do anything else but just want to love you and bring others into that love. That means so much to Him because, you know, we're free. And we chose Him. And we're
Amen.
Living by faith.
Is anybody else like giggly at all? I'm like giggly here. I'm sorry. I'm
That's
totally
the Holy Spirit. That's the Holy
Amen.
Spirit. You can be hysterical laughing. That's the Holy Spirit. I've been slain. I've been
you
slain
know,
ever since
this.
I've been 20. I've been slain in the Spirit. I don't know how many times. You know, and I was given the gift
I've
of compassion.
This, you know, guys, I did the morning show, and I was filled with the Spirit from people sharing their stories, and it hit me so hard. I get off from there, and I talk to. Four or five different people from it that I know from
yeah.
YouTube through all this
yeah.
all day long. And it's like, and then I come in and do the evening show and I'm still, and I can't get enough of it. You know, I wish I could talk to more people. It's like you can't,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't
he
even know the words to
you.
Say. It's just,
he will use
it's amazing and I love it. And there's so much benefit. Oh, I mean, that's why I say I'm blessed is, I just feel
yeah.
everybody's love. I feel the, you know,
yes.
I feel the relief for people that are finding a place
yes.
where they can talk about their dreams and their experiences.
Yes.
Man, I just,
oh,
amen.
Oh, I could be on all night. I have to tell you one very strange thing that happened.
I appreciate
yeah.
that you guys, you know, allow me to not only share my stuff, but to talk with other people and try and benefit other people with, you know,
right.
what little bit of knowledge I have.
That's
you know, that
God.
Is a blessing.
That's what it's for.
God
his
has
power is with you when you speak. You know, if you
everyone
love him,
has talent.
Your few
yeah.
little words, his power
yes.
and glory will bring people
that's right.
to save.
That's
you know,
right.
your shadow, like Peter,
yeah.
will heal people.
Close
and
yeah.
that's what that's
yes.
who does the salvation. You know, you
yes.
just, you're the vessel, we're the vessel.
Right, exactly.
Expect
all the glorious
huge things
thoughts
in these last days.
I have to just tell you something. So this will blow you away too. We're just going to share because it's going to build us up. I went into the supermarket, and you know how you run into the supermarket and your hair's a mess and you look like something the cat and the dog dragged in. Well, that was one of those days. I was leaving, and this woman comes running over to me, and she says, "You reek of the Holy Spirit. He's pouring out of you." And I looked at her like she had three heads, you know. And then I just calmed myself. I said, No, I gave her a hug, and she told me all her whatevers. I mean, total stranger. I mean, everybody's in the store's looking at me like, what is this nutcase who's filled with the Holy Spirit, you know? And I talked to her. I blessed her, you know, and then we parted. I never saw her again, but that was the moment that God needed me to be there. And I looked like a wreck, but God didn't care. I mean, she said, she's screaming from the running down the aisle, you reek of the Holy Spirit, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. And everybody's listening to this, and I'm looking at her like, and I said to the Lord, couldn't you tell me a little bit so I could at least put on a little bit of lipstick, no, not on wear makeup, but look a little more decent. But he didn't care. That didn't matter. But
he was laughing.
I was so shocked.
The Lord was laughing out loud at that point in time. He had his
oh, but I nearly died. I mean, I looked like a wreck.
Somehow I can just know that your hair was like a cat, like you had slept on the side, you had bedhead.
Exactly.
You're like walking into this place.
I looked like a bedhead. I looked like I just got out of bed and went into the store, because many times that's what we do. I've seen people wear their pajamas to the store. I mean, I really didn't want to be there, you know. And she's racing from, I had just left the counter, and she's racing to the counter over to me with all these people looking, screaming, "You're filled with the Holy Spirit. He's reeking it. You reek of it. He's pouring out of you." And I'm like, "Dear God, next time warn me, you know." I still look a little more decent. But he doesn't care. Like, I went to the prayer meeting. I look like a hoochie-coochie. I mean, I was a model, you know, a Barbizon model. And it's like, he didn't care. He grabbed me anyway. he's after the heart, honey. He's after your heart, you know. And he'll fine-tune you after a while. You know, you have your sackcloth and ashes on, or you look decent in dress, and you know what. But right at the moment, he doesn't care. He just grabs you just where you are. And I mean, he just grabs you. He just takes you because he knows he's going to get you. He knows you're going to get
you. I know that. Go ahead. The fire of God's in me. I'm just sweating. I'm like, what is going on here?
That's the Holy Spirit. He's all
kind
of manifestation.
Burning off.
The Lord
all
picks
stuff.
The strangest times.
He does.
The Lord picks
he
the
does.
Strangest times. You know, you're walking around, everything's normal. Or, you know, you know, like for me, I was working on my kitchen sink. It was clogged up. I was really mad about it. I go out in the garage, and I'm like, Lord, I hate this stupid sink. And pours it out. I'm shaking, trembling, you know. You know, you're like, of all the times, Lord, you know, I was praying for this. I was always praying for that.
It's whenever he wants to, whenever he wants to. He'll get you. He'll get you, you know. And, no, really, all just incredible stuff. Oh, for a long, long time, you know, Jesus only, you know. So this is how it'll be in heaven.
Amen.
We'll all be laughing and then telling stories, and we'll have another crowd of people around listening to our stories up there. Plus, you do. You give little
actually, I'm hoping in heaven
said.
That Jesus gets, I really can't wait to hear him telling stories.
Oh,
I mean,
yes.
That's what I want to hear. I want to hear Jesus telling me all I remember when I saw you do this stupid thing.
A Jesus roast. A roast to us.
Yes. He has a great sense of humor. A great sense of humor. And you can you can picture him in your heart, and you can see him laughing. I know I said something really stupid or funny one time, and he was laughing so hard. He was leaned over, and he had his hands on his knees. He was just laughing so hard at something like a dry sense of English humor I have. And he just laughs. He's wonderful, you know. He's wonderful. Go ahead.
I think people take him so seriously, and like he's sitting around like he's like upset and mad all the time. And it's like
when the Lord
talks to me, he's joking around. He's just kidding with me, and he's like, and he knows, and he knows that I'm freaking out because I'm hearing from him. You know, he does it. He knows it, and he just loves you.
Yeah,
he just loves you.
Yes,
because, I mean,
exactly.
It's not the conviction; it's the devil.
You want another powerful story? Oh my goodness, they're just pouring out of me.
I can listen to you all night, ma'am.
Oh, listen, this is serious, though. Remember when we had they had that horrible earthquake in Japan and the nuclear plants and everything? Okay, the night before I visited, I this is serious. I hope I don't cry. I had the inner vision of the Lord, and he was leaning over and looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and he says, "Pray for the people of Japan. Cover them with my precious blood." And I didn't know what he was talking about. This is the night before. I had no idea. And I says, "All right, Jesus, I cover the people in Japan with your precious blood." I was very upset that night because I'm in Lake Opekon. We have the beautiful lake. We have three dams. It was raining so hard. And all I could think about is our dams breaking and the water going on the 65-mile-an-hour, mile lake. So I went to bed. I got up, early. And I put on the news, and I thought I was going to hear all the rain came, and we had all kind of problems. It was the earthquake. And he had me that night, just very gently. He didn't upset me. He didn't say anything. He said, "Just pray for the people of Japan." And I did. I covered them with his precious blood. And so I'm sharing that with you. I'm sharing that with you.
Now, I heard a testimony of
And I had a vision of a fire all over the island. Yeah.
Henry Gruber received a phone call 4 hours before the earthquake because he does prayer walking over there a lot. If you ever hear of Henry Gruber.
Beautiful.
And the Lord spoke to him that he wanted a reaping. He took the children home, God is merciful, you know, but he's a man of numbers. He's going to take home his bride.
Yeah.
He's going to take home who are, if they're not going to listen, things are going to get shaken up.
Yeah. Well, there's justice, too. This is a sad generation. Yeah. We're very selfish. We're very worldly. Okay, I'm going to say something.
Idealistic,
Okay. There's another thing. During the World War II, our GIs went over to visit this astigmatist, Teresa Neumann, in Germany. And she said to him, God loves America very, very much, but she's kind of like, on my word, she's a spoiled brat, like she's a baby, like she's really bad. But he loves this country so much that what he's going to do, you're not going to have invasions, but he says he's going to bring the people to their knees through the elements, that they will be so upset or frightened that they will turn to God because they will cry out to him because of the storms and everything that are happening. It's going to be the elements. And this was in the 1940s that she told this to our GIs. And, hey, what's happening? God loves America. We're supposed to be the shining light on the hill. We really are. We're supposed to be the example to the rest of the world of his love and mercy. And this is a Christian nation. I don't care what Obama or anybody else says.
I agree.
This is a Christian nation.
Amen.
This is Jesus' country.
And that's what, I don't know if you guys watch Perry Stone's sermons.
Yes, yes.
Perry Stone put out a sermon on January 17th. Look it up. It's an amazing sermon. I mean, it's an hour and 5 minutes. I get into watching a lot of sermons, but a lot of people don't like to watch long sermons. But if you can bear to sit for an hour and 5 minutes, it is amazing. I'll let me look up in my playlist here and get the exact name for you of it. But
you can just Google
America,
it. Perry Stone.
Yeah.
It'll come up.
It's on the 17th, and he talks about America needing a revelation or a what's it called? Revelation, Reformation, or I can't remember the exact
retribution, maybe.
It.
Yeah.
It is an amazing prophetic sermon on just him talking about his insights over the country being divided and how he even knows of congressmen and other people that want to we're actually ready for a revolution. Here it is. Revolution, restoration, or reformation in America now is the name of it. And it is, and he calls for it, and he is dead on. I mean, he tells prophecies in there that he prophesied in 2007 that have now come to pass, and they showed him, they talk about, he has his congregation get up and, say, "Hey, what did I say in 2007? And they say it, and he's like, "And what has happened?" And nation is going to pay.
Yes.
But here's what God tells me through it. And he says, our nation is going to pay for turning its back on Israel. But
because
America is so full of so many Christians that we are going to be divided. And I don't know, and that's what Perry Stone preaches on, too, is there could be a revolution, and there's going to be
They're trying to make that happen.
He said there's 25 states right now that have signed petitions and given them to the government asking to succeed from America as a nation. Half of our country wants to withdraw from being America.
It's never going to happen that way.
He says, gather the people up that these names are on these petitions that are signed. You gather them up and kick them out of America. He wants to have us all deported.
Do we have 1 minute left?
Oh.
Are we going to continue going?
No. I think it goes till 9:30. I think we're good till 9:30.
I
just wanted to say thank you. This is Michelle. I'm getting ready to jump off of here for the night.
Okay.
Michelle, my cell phone number is, and this is anybody that wants it, it's 814-807-4422.
Love you guys.
And your name is?
814-807-4422. And my name is Chris.
807-4422.
Yep.
Chris. Okay.
Yeah.
Chris?
Yeah. Oh,
nice
boy.
Nice meeting you, Chris. Take care, guys. I'll see you in the air.
Thank you,
Amen.
Too.
Yes, definitely. Definitely.
God bless you guys. I hope it is tonight.
Yeah.
Oh,
amen.
That'd be awesome.
God bless you.
I hope it's every day. Every day I wake up hoping today's the day.
Many people think it's the Feast of Trumpets, which is 230 days away, and that would be September 15th. They think that that's
the
rapture time.
I think the Lord will return on that day, but he might take his bride before that.
Yeah, I think before that.
All
especially
he says,
you know what I mean?
March.
The day of the Lord.
There's
only one feast left for the day of the Lord, by the way.
Wow.
Okay.
So I think that's it. I'm not sure if it's a trumpets. I haven't really studied that.
Yeah.
Because of the trumpet
the
is,
feast
a, is
of first
a, breads the
or first
shout.
Fruits.
Is really the archangel's shout is the trumpet. If you can translate the
Gotti
Hebrew
from
correctly.
Eternal Rhythm Flow has some good words on good charts and explanations on the Jewish feast days.
Right.
I think
we
it's
have
trumpets.
The blood moons.
But I'm
going to
run over the
Wings moons.
Radio and listen to that, guys. Love you guys. Bye.
Okay. Maybe
thank
we
you.
Should go
good
to
night.
All right, bye.
Yeah.
I'll probably call over there in a little bit, and I'll see you over there.
Okay.
Okay. Well, what is it? It's on now. Yeah. Okay. I guess we'll do that.
I'm
going to
finish out
talking we'll
here.
Too.
This is like, I feel like this is my home church here.
Yes. It's beautiful because it's filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we're feeding each other to be better Christians, so it's the name of the game. And help other people.
Well, that's what I love. This is just a group of Holy Spirit filled believers that have all come together, and we just, and that's what you know. It all started out, you know, the whole rapture centric, you know, is how it all started. But it actually kind of grew and evolved into some are date setters, some are not date setters.
Right.
Some, you know, a lot like me don't care, you know, just we know
but
it's
we're
soon
in the
and we don't, you know, and we just
there's
enjoy
the
fellowship.
There's a term called in the season.
Yeah,
the season.
You know, we know we're in the season and
we
just
time.
Enjoy fellowshipping with each other and talking and enjoying each other's company.
Keep occupying.
Exactly.
That's what Jesus says. Keep occupying. You know, if you're doing the dishes, you're doing the dishes. If you get swept up in the air, hey, that's great. But don't just sit and stare into space. You know, just keep doing what you're doing. Because if you're in the Lord, you got nothing to worry about.
Exactly.
When you go, you go. When you go, you go. You're always in the Lord. You know, you always want to
be in the
Lord.
I feel like I've known Jason forever, and we've only talked maybe four times, five times maybe.
But, you know, we all knew each other in heaven before we came here.
Amen.
We do. We do, and everyone has a mission. There was a lady who had a near-death experience, and she went back up, you know, God took her up after she died, and she said she was all upset and everything. Then he said, well, this was the mission, and he showed her mission, what she had to do on Earth. We all have a mission. If you're breathing, there's a reason. And she came down to Earth knowing, usually he doesn't do that, but she knew what her mission was, and she got right into it because she was young. She still had a long time to live and do for the Lord. Yeah, so we're all here for a reason. Just ask the Holy Spirit what it is. And he'll let you know. He just got to know you want to do it.
Yeah,
but
amen.
You're sincere. Yeah, he just wants to know he can use you because you're here for a reason. You know, when you think of how much your conception
for a year
is
now,
you.
I am yours. Do with me what your will
exactly.
be. Not my will, your will be done.
Exactly.
I don't care what you want from me. You
that's
know, you
beautiful.
Want to stand on my head in the corner for an hour?
Exactly.
So be it. Tell me, and that's what I'll do.
Well, that's what we're all supposed to be like, you know. All of us,
yeah.
Everyone born here. That's why you got to keep praying for conversions and going after souls and just praying that Satan get out of their life and rebuke the enemy powerfully. Satan, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. Right now, I have nothing to do with you. You have nothing to do with me.
Amen.
I have nothing to do with you. Leave in Jesus' name. And say it, and say it. Here you go. He'll leave you alone. If he hears the name of Jesus, man, he's got to hightail it out.
Well,
he
I actually got it. You know, I don't know. Smith Wigglesworth spoke. I don't know if you know who he is. He's a pastor that's actually he's deceased now, but he actually raised people from the dead.
He
is just really spirit filled, and.
Yeah.
This guy, he preached one day, and he's telling a sermon. A couple things he said that really enlightened me were somebody was trying to call him out and say, you know, well, people don't pray long enough. We don't believe that people do their prayers long enough each day. They need to spend longer times in prayer. And he said, well, he said, you know, I got to say, he said, I never spend more than 20 minutes in prayer. And they said, really? You're so anointed, and you only spend 20 minutes in prayer? And
that's
he said,
quality.
Yep, I only spend 20 minutes in prayer at a time. He said, but I don't go 20 minutes without praying.
Right. There you go.
And then he told another one. He says, what was it? I can't even think of it now.
It's okay.
Oh, it was so amazing too. He's just very, very gifted. The man is. He raised his wife from the dead three times.
Wow!
And on the third time, she said,
I want to go home.
Stop bringing me back. My father is calling us home. And so he let her go. You know, then another one, Kenneth Copeland actually preaches this one, talks about this one. I've never been able to find an actual, account of it from Smith Wigglesworth, but because he's really modest about what he does. But Kenneth Copeland said that he had a pastor that was, Smith Wigglesworth was a guest speaker at his church, and the pastor had a funeral to attend to share some words over somebody in his congregation. And he asked Smith Wigglesworth, he said, will you come with me and maybe say a few words? You know, they'd really find that as an honor. You know, and Smith says, sure, you know, no problem, I'll go. You know, so they walk into the funeral, and Kenneth Copeland tells this so funny, because, you know, Kenneth Copeland gets into the hand signals and stuff when he's preaching. And he says, he walks into the funeral, doesn't say hi to anybody, doesn't do anything. He walks into the room with the casket and shuts the glass doors behind him. There's glass French doors, and he shuts the doors behind him, and he walks over to the casket, and he picks the guy up from by his jacket out of the casket, stands him up in the corner, and said, in the name of Jesus, walk! And the guy slithers down and falls to the ground, and he picks him up again and sticks him up in the corner, and he says, I said, in the name of Jesus, walk! And the guy falls down again, the corpse falls down, and then he picks him up a third time, and he slams him into the wall as hard as he can, and he says, by God, walk! And the man just shivers, jumps, and starts walking out the door with Smith Wigglesworth, and the two of them walk out the doors. hand in hand together. I mean, this guy was embalmed with, you know, he was embalming fluid the whole nine yards.
Doesn't matter to Jesus.
You know?
Doesn't matter. Make you new.
And he walks out the door with the preacher, and
no one
would even speak to him at his funeral because everybody was so scared they didn't know what to think.
But that's God. That's Jesus.
I mean, that's the power of God. That's the kind of anointing I want.
This
guy just had. Oh, I know what I was thinking. I know. I remember it now. He was preaching, and he said, "I rolled over one night. I was in my hotel room. I had just had a really long altar call. He did like a 3-hour altar call and was just slaying people in the spirit."
Yeah.
And he said he was laying in bed. He didn't even shower. He was still all sweaty, and he was laying in bed in the hotel room. And he felt the presence in the room, and he turned and rolled over and saw Satan standing at the bottom of his bed.
And this was when
I had just been praying, and I'm like, Lord, I just realized something. Satan is less than us. You created us to be his master. You know, he has no control over us, and as long as we believe that and enforce it, there's nothing, he can't touch us. And then I saw this sermon where Smith Wigglesworth said, he rolled over in his bed, saw Satan standing at the bottom of his bed, and he looked at him and said, "Oh, it's just you," and rolled over and went back to sleep.
Yeah, he knew Christ. He knew the power of Christ. Once on my bed, a black panther appeared, and I just rebuked it because I knew what it was. I knew it was Satan trying to scare me.
Rebuke it, it's gone, you know.
I was very calm, and I saw the panther, and I said, "In the name of Jesus, get out of here," and gone, you know. But he'll try tricks. He'll try to get you.
Oh, yeah.
But if you're in the Lord Jesus, then you get nothing to worry about, you know.
Exactly.
Jesus is there. You don't have to worry if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you know. He's going to flee, you know. And the slightest thing, if I see it around my kids or anything, I'll rebuke immediately. Oh, dear, there was this lady, and we were praying for a child, and she thought that there was some demonic activity. So I started, this was like 25 years ago, and she's sitting on the couch, and we're praying for this kid, and I'm saying, "In the name of Jesus," you know, I went off, you know, rebuking. She started to shake and cry. She says, "What's happening to me? What's happening to me?" And I says, "Well, you must have had some kind of influence, and that's why you're shaking and crying, and I'm rebuking, and he's leaving."
Amen.
Yeah, amen. Yes. So don't be afraid to rebuke, because he who was in you is stronger than he who was in the world. We have the power over him, not the other way. But how many people are duped and deceived, and they don't
even
have God,
realize,
and they cower. They cower.
Even 90% of Christians don't realize that we were created to rule everything with the exception of God himself.
Right. We're stewards of the earth, and we will answer for our stewardship. We will answer.
Exactly.
But God will forgive us if we've messed up. He will, because he's a forgiving God. He loves to forgive.
Oh, yes.
Mercy is the highest attribute.
I tell him, when I pray, I'm like, "Lord, I know you're coming soon, because I want to see how you meant for this to all be in the
future." He knows how it's
going to
be. He knows how it's going to end. He knows what he's going to do. He knows what's going to happen. So we just trust in a very powerful God. If you look at the universe, which we can't even find the end, he's not going to take care of some stuff with Earth. Are you kidding? We have a powerful, powerful God, and yet he's sweet enough to condescend to our littleness and nothingness and hold us in his arms. How sweet is that? How sweet is that? You know,
Amen.
That's the kind of Jesus we have. You know, he's human like us. He feels like us. So tell him you love him and say, "Hey, whatever you want, you know, it's yours.
Amen.
I'm completely yours. I'm completely yours." You know, don't
be afraid. Did Jason hang up too, or is he still on? Jason, you still there?
Is anybody else? Is anybody there?
Well, Jason's hosting it, so this is getting recorded for the podcast, but...
I love it. Thank you.
You're recording all this? Oh, dear me. Oh, my goodness. So, you know, we just help each other to come closer and help other people and keep it simple and just keep it sincere and let God use us, you know. But if you wake up and say, Holy Spirit, you know, send me somebody you want, he will. And all of a sudden you just get a feeling about stuff, you know, and that's God. Because you tuned into him. You're his. You're his. And
Amen.
He's going to use you. He's going to use you. Stay humble, stay sweet, you know, and amiable. And be. I think that why we're here is the test to see how much of the Lord Jesus Christ we become ourselves, because he's the soul of our soul. We're made in his likeness and image. So he's looking at us and seeing, how much can you be another Jesus Christ? That's
I pray that all the time. I'm like, Lord, make me more Christ-like today.
Exactly.
Help
we have
me today
to be him
see,
to others.
More of you out of me, so I'm more Christ-like today than I was the day before.
I diminish and he increases.
Just my... And it works. The more you know, I went from a complete sinner to sort of saved to I'm really walking the walk now. Then it was now each day, you know, I feel and find one more sin that I can. Sometimes it's just minor things. Lately, you know.
Oh yes,
just
it
really
is. It is.
You notice.
But you find that
you
want to get rid of it because you don't want to displease the Lord. You want to be like him as much as you can. You want to talk like him. You want to walk like him. You want to address situations how he would address them. WWJD, there's a reason for that sentence. What would Jesus do?
Yeah, amen.
So all the time, that is our guide. What would he do? How would he act? I also find that you're in a situation where there's a lot of tension in the house and people are angry. Just start to crack a joke or just give somebody a hug. It breaks it immediately and rebuke, and it breaks it immediately, and you can bring peace into the worst situations. You know, it works. Try it. It means pulling up the reins of your nature. You might be very upset with the person, but you go up to them, you give them a hug and say, hey, are you having more than a bad hair day? You want to tell me about it? You watch the person melt. Because everybody wants to tell you something, and they want somebody to listen to them. Even if they have a mask on, they'll take it off. If you show enough love, you'll break them. And they'll come to the Lord because they'll want what you want. Why are you happy? Why? And then say, well, I love the Lord. You know, he's my life. And maybe they might not listen right just then, but you're planting seeds that are going to grow. And they might grow in a week or a month or a year, but you planted the seed. What's with you? Why are you that way? Why are you that? I want that. Why are you happy when you should be crying? You know, I want that. They want that. People don't want to be unhappy. They want to be happy. And the only happiness we have is the Lord. His happiness.
Amen.
That's the only true happiness.
Exactly.
That's the only happiness that counts. That's the only thing
Amen.
That counts. It's your relationship with him. Then everything will flow from that. But first, you got to be humble before him and obey and you know, get into the word and just be totally his. Jesus, I'm yours. Use me. Use me. Let me bring heaven on earth. What does the Bible say? Those who do the will of the Father on earth have salvation? Yeah. So every day, Jesus, what is your Father's will on earth? Show me how to do it. Who do you want me to see today? What do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Oh, he'll let you know.
Amen.
And even if he just wants you to sit and be quiet for an hour and pray, and you're thinking, well, I'm going to meet somebody, just follow the lead of what he wants you to do. He needs some prayer time with you. And sometimes he just wants to sit and counsel you. Or sometimes Jesus and I just look at each other. We don't say anything because we're so in love, we don't have to say anything, you know, because the love is there. The relationship is there for 50 years and counting, even more. You know, ever since I was baptized in the Holy Spirit. And even before that, I loved him, you know. But he took off with me when I was 20. Man, wow. And it's never ended, you know. It's just a constant love affair, you know. And he wants that with everybody. This is for every creature born on earth, every child, every brother or bride. He wants that with everybody. This total commitment to him, total love, you know. And he'll take care of you. He will. He will. He'll take care of you. You don't have to worry. As long as you're sincere, you know.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. So we're going to go
I'm
going to
get off
wings.
Here and play with my son and get him tucked into bed. I will call in tomorrow night, and I'm on every night. Call in tomorrow night.
Okay,
we'd love
if I can
to
be on, if I'm not out or something, I'll be on. Okay?
Amen.
And I'll ask
Thank
the Holy Spirit
sharing.
To jar me to tell you some more stuff, you know.
Amen.
Yeah.
You've got the experience.
Okay.
We've got the eagerness to learn.
Yes, we will learn. We will learn, and he will guide it. The Holy Spirit will have us speak to each other, and then what we learn, we take out and we give to others. We're stronger to really attack the enemy. And,
amen.
And just, you know, if the minute you feel the tension or anything, rebuke immediately. And if you can say it out loud, Satan, in the name of Jesus, get out of here. And just really
do it all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. No, well, okay. The way then you know.
All the time. He has
then
no
you
power.
Know, yes. You might have to do it 20 times a day, but you know he's gonna get the message like this one is not game. I'm not getting anywhere. I'm gonna try the next person. You know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Saint Michael, draw your sword and start swinging.
Amen.
Give it to me. I'll start swinging. You know. Don't be afraid. Fear is not of God. You know. Okay, guys. I'm gonna go listen to the Wings thing. Okay.
All right. Have a good night.
We'll talk tomorrow. Okay,
all
God
right.
bless everybody. Hang in there.
God bless you.
He's coming soon, and we're all going to be happy with him and we'll be laughing
Amen.
Up there.
Amen.
And we don't need
Maranatha.
To
laugh.
God bless
okay,
you,
guys.
And good night.
Good night, dear.
Night.
God bless everyone. Love yous. Okay, bye-bye.
Love you.
Bye. Bye.